What's going on, everybody? Hi, it's the Jeff Gerstmann Show here online for August 9th, and I am joined by a special guest. Here he is. Ben Pack is here. I am trying to turn the music down, but it is not turning down. Yeah, we discussed that you would not hear the music, but you would act like you were hearing the music, and it is almost over. It's over. No, Ben, the music has stopped. Oh, okay, all right, great. Hi, I'm Jeff Gerstmann. Welcome to the show. Ben Pack is here. Welcome to the show, Ben Pack. And you're okay. And now your voice is going out to the stream. So on top of that, on top of that, I fixed that. So
yeah,
I spent weeks thinking about the different ways I would like. Okay, how would the routing work for getting a guest on and routing the audio? I want to make sure I have a button so I can turn them off. So if they want to say bad things about people on the internet, it doesn't have to broadcast out. And so I have a way to
say some bad things. Do you want to test that? I can say some bad things about people.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Really, you're definitely not streaming out right now, so you can go ahead and safely say bad things about people on the internet.
The guy from Epic Meal Time is abrasive.
Oh shit. That accidentally went out.
What?
Sorry. You're ruined.
You know me and Harley are like, we're not friends, but we have mutuals.
Yeah. Oh no. Well, I've gone and ruined it.
He's never going to follow my private Twitter account now.
No, I know. Yeah. So you've pretty much gone off the grid and, you've taken an honest job on a different grid.
Yeah, exactly.
You're building the grid instead of standing in front of the grid and doing the little dance that says, hey, it's all going to burn someday. Instead, you're like building the stuff.
I'm building the thing that's going to make it burn.
Great.
No, this is one for all my web heads out there. I traded in reacting for reacting, and that one's going to play big on
Hacker News. They are posting links to this podcast. So you got to hear this guy. He's like the Bill Hicks of web dev.
I had to build a fake Hacker News as part of a project. I had to like look at Hacker News and be like, how would you build this? And do my best to do that. And I was like, oh, this is that website that all of the coworkers of mine know about and nobody my age has heard of.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
It's cool. I mean, I went to it. I was like, oh, it's like kind of like a dig. It reminded me of Dig.
Yeah, it's like a dig. Another like Dig it's still like, exists, I think, like, right? Like, is Dig is still a thing?
Dig, I think, at this point is like a BuzzFeed.
Okay,
an old BuzzFeed, because now BuzzFeed is news.
Right. Yes. Now BuzzFeed is CNN, and CNN is telling
CNN
you about all
Apple.
The
yeah. CNN Plus is Apple.
CNN and
Play, Apple is Netflix.
Got it. Okay. And then Apple, they have the car. They're going to make a car.
They're going to make a car. So, I had a thought today. I was almost tweeted this, but I'm just going to ask you instead. So in the future, obviously, I don't know who's going to get there, but we're going to have like AI drivers be a real thing that like people are going to have to like learn to live with. Do you think that AI drivers, manufacturers, like the people making the drivers, will release patch notes about like their car behavior and like how granular are they going to get? They're going to be like, we're going to be like 60% more likely to activate the trolley problem thing and hit one old lady than three children. And like, so you kind of have that in the back of your mind. And
no, I think they're going to be like, oh, that's a trade secret. It's going to be like PlayStation firmware updates. It's going to be like security is increased.
Yes.
Stability and security. It's great.
The secret herbs and spices blend of KFC.
It's less likely to kill, well, I don't know, some people might say fewer people will die. Who can say, install this on your car?
Somebody ran an equation that told us less people are going to die, and we believe it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we're pretty sure this is good. I continually think about the self-driving car thing from like a few different angles. There's like that stuff, But then there's the, for me, it's the weird knock-on effect of like a decade later, once it all works, of how do driving games continue to exist in a world where people don't drive?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I think it's going to, you're going to be at like a split point where kind of some, like a lot of military games have started to reckon with the fact that like drone warfare is how like most warfare is fought. And so you have like games that lean into that. So games where you're going to manage the self-driving cars and it can maybe be like a sim thing. And then you're going to get like old timey wagon racers for your like World War II throwback. Just like, you know, so far removed from cars that it becomes fictional and
yeah, they would just get into Wipeout. Wipeout becomes real.
I mean, yeah, but then Wipeout's going to be real one day.
Yeah. But that'll make sense, you know, because like they'll always be like some kind of racing, right? They'll be like, I'm controlling a vehicle and I'm racing motorsports, whatever it is. But I guess I'm more meaning like the Forzas of the world, where it's like, go get a real car and drive around the real world. Like there was already a thing where this is something I read years ago now, but it always stuck with me, was like, you know, when kids turn 16 now, they don't all just want a driver's license. They're not all like, give me a driver's license so I can get the fuck away from here. Like, I need to get away from my parents. Like, get me a driver's license and a car so I can get away. Like, there's just a lot less of that desire, which is really foreign to me, generationally speaking. But yeah, yeah.
When you didn't,
yeah.
I still don't have a driver's license.
You were working on it for a while.
I have a learner's permit.
Okay.
As of a couple of months ago. Okay. So I'm getting ready for that test. I hope I get a human. Because you know those are going to, like, be replaced with robots in a...
Oh, definitely. Minute. Yeah. Yeah. There'll be, yes, robots calling balls and strikes in driving tests. That'll happen almost immediately. And they'll be like, no, you are 19 inches from the curb, but you fucking fail.
You know how people learn like refs names and follow like ref careers so they can get mad at like specific refs?
Yeah.
Do you think people are going to do that for like the model numbers of the strike umpire robot? Like CX-118 is obviously biased to the Mariners. Like, come on.
Just be like, oh, you know, that his lower left sensor is dirty. And so, exactly. You know, that there's, you know, there's someone strategically put some baseball mud on it. And now, you know, he doesn't doesn't call the outside corner like he's supposed to. Stupid robot. It's, when are they going to fix the fucking, it was like people like out there writing custom firmware for umpire bots and just going like, no, this is way more efficient. This is going to work much better.
Black hat agents working to hack in during the World Series.
Yep. And then the umps just take the field by force. And then we have Base Wars. That gets us to other hot robot video games.
Maybe the future is not such a scary place if it gets us to Base Wars.
Yeah, exactly. If we get to Base Wars, then could things have been all that bad? Maybe. I don't know. I bet robots would be really good at hitting home runs if you train them right.
I think one of my most controversial takes is we should have a like body mod Olympics. Like, I understand the ethical repercussions of such a thing. I understand that it becomes immoral to test on humans and people will like take it way, way, way too far. But like, I think like you should have an Olympics or a MLB or whatever that's like, steroids are fine. I mean, I guess it's kind of already how it's going, but like,
yeah.
You know, just let people go crazy. Let people get freaking huge and just like optimum human, like get a robot arm. Sure.
Yeah.
As long as you're like at least 50% human, I think it's fine.
That's the line for you. Okay.
You got to pass the Turing test and you got to pass a shotgun test where if you get blasted by a shotgun, would it still kill you?
Okay. And they test that by shooting you with a shotgun.
No, but threatening you.
Okay. If you're like, whatever, man, go for it. Then they're like, dude, you got to go. There's a whole separate league for you up the street.
Yes.
You're like, go. That's, they're playing fucking robot slam ball up there. Just go up there. And
slam ball is back.
Slam ball's coming back. This is the most exciting news. I was a big slam ball fan when it was originally on the air.
I think one day in the like studio, we found out that it was still going on in Vegas.
Yeah.
Do you remember talking about, and there were like six teams.
Yeah. And like the founder of Slam Ball was still there just grinding out going like, I know I still care about this. This is still my
way better. It's way better.
This is way better than basketball. It's the human. It's a human. You're the human highlight reel. The video game, you're a walking video game. And Spike TV, I wanted, so Spike TV would almost show like highlights when they were broadcasting on television. And so you didn't really always get the full, like, I wanted the full experience of like, cover it like it was real sports. Let me sit down on the couch for an aimless number of hours drinking and watching people play slam ball.
Showing like classic slam ball matches from the 90s.
Exactly. All the, yes, from the 70s, you got the Sklar brothers on there, you know, doing episodes of Cheap Seats about classic slam ball, you know, all that sort of stuff. Yes. And so, yeah, I'm
a slam ball movie with Will Ferrell, owns a struggling slam ball team.
Yep. Yep. And he finds a secret, he just rediscovers flubber and they put that into the trampolines to win the championship, but then they won dishonestly, and the girl he likes is the GM for the other team. Oh. And yeah, it tugs at some heartstrings. I mean, it's funny, but
it's a dramatic tour de force from Will Ferrell.
It's a dramedy.
And Jessica McCarthy.
Yes. Jessica McCarthy, star in a star turn, another star turn for her in the wonderful world of slam ball. I could not be more excited about it. So I was in Japan. This is when slam ball was on TV originally. I was in Japan visiting, I think it was Anchor, which was the studio that was working on UFC games for THQ. And I was there with like THQ PR. And I remember the guy that was running THQ PR at the time, like pulling me aside. So we were just like having casual conversations. And he was just like, "Hey, it's not signed yet, but I'm pretty sure we got the license to slam ball locked up. I'm pretty sure we're going to be making a slam ball game."
Oh.
And I was like, yeah. And then THQ,
you were the one person he should have probably been talking to about it.
Exactly. Like, I was the one person who was like, yeah, let's do it. And so THQ had apparently come very close, or actually got the license, but like never, THQ did not survive long enough, and slam ball did not survive long enough for anyone to make that happen. And yeah, that to me is the one that got away. So I really hope that, you know, THQ is back, slam ball is back. Like, can we find a way? Yeah, can we find a way to finally make this reality a reality? All right, Ben, we're going to take a quick ad break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Evolution 2022.
Evolution Search for Eden?
Evo Nintendo? Search for Eden for the Super NES. The 2022 roster update came out. We're very excited about it.
Mammals got nerfed. It's huge for the meta.
Yeah, no, this is gigantic. We'll be back after this. Hey, I know we all talk about energy drinks and all that stuff around here, but what about when you just need a little something, that kind of mid-afternoon, it's a little too late in the day to go, you know, drinking two cups of coffee or, you know, pound an energy drink or something like that. But you're like, hey, I, you know, post-lunch, I'm a little sleepy, I'm a little sluggish, a little blah. Well, there's something brand new you can try from Feels. Feels brand new focus melts are unlike anything you might already be using to focus. Focus Melts are a fast-acting, long-lasting, and caffeine-free tablet to help you say goodbye to procrastination and reclaim your day. These fast-acting tablets just dissolve in moments, leaving you with improved focus in minutes. They just melt, you know, just on your tongue, under your tongue, all that other stuff. They taste absolutely fine, and they can reduce cravings for snacks, which is like a nice little side bonus there. So, you know, if you need that boost of focus, instead of reaching for like that, like weird, dicey afternoon cup of coffee, pop a Focus Melt. Focus Melts are powered by tetracitrine, a naturally occurring compound that gives you the laser focus you expect from caffeine and other stimulants, but without that crash and weird roller coaster ride that, you know, you probably just don't need that late in the day. So that afternoon window can be a perfect time for this. But hey, I don't know, maybe you stay up all night, do this. Maybe, you know, maybe you need something like this in the morning. Maybe, you know, everyone's going to be different. You know, that afternoon, a cup of coffee, that made a lot of sense to me. I don't want to get all crazy wired all over again late in the day, all that other stuff. That's a morning thing. So the afternoon thing, that's where Feels comes in. Feels, that's F-E-A-L-S, has already helped more than 100,000 people take back control and feel better through their premium products, real human support, and their membership program with free delivery straight to your home. You want to get in on these focus melts? You want to check this out? All right. It's time to say no to sluggish days and restless nights with Feels Focus Melts. Become a member today and save 50% off your first order of focus melts and get free shipping by going to feels.com/Jeff and using code Jeff at checkout. As a member, you'll save money on every order, and you can easily pause, swap, or cancel that subscription at any time. That's feals.com/Jeff and use the code Jeff to become a member today. Say goodbye to procrastination, reclaim your day, and start feeling better with Feels. And we're back.
Hands up.
I'm making sure the levels are moving as you are making noise with your mouth. And yes, I did hit the button correctly. Oh, damn it.
No, I'm playing.
Oh, you had me.
I'm having a little laugh.
You're having a laugh. You know who else had a laugh? Ryu and Ken and the rest of the Street Fighter boys.
That's right. Rashid was having a laugh.
Oh my God. Rashid had the one of the craziest laughs of all. Gold Rock had a laugh. Warren had a laugh. All of our fighting favorites.
Yes.
Jackie Bryant.
Moko Jin.
Yep. Super Sonico. All of our favorites were there.
Supersonic.
Fucking the duck with the pistol from Sonic the Fighters. Whatever the fuck his name was.
Zack Zippy the duck with a gun.
Yeah. Feet aficionados were pleased. Evo had a little something for everyone. I kind of went looking for announcements after the fact and didn't really find much, but I did catch the top eight for Street Fighter V. And wow.
Yes, I will say that, like, up to that point, I was a little under the weather, so I watched a lot of Evo this weekend. And I think it was the first night, maybe it was Saturday night, there was a lot of really fun top eight. I think it was the first night it was Skullgirls, if I'm remembering correctly. It all kind of blended together.
Yeah.
But like that really set the tone. That is a game I don't really know anything about, but I watched a lot of and consistently impressed by the top eights of games I normally don't even... I can't name more than five characters from. And it carried all the way through Sunday. I didn't watch every moment of top eight for every game, but like I watched most of Street Fighter. I watched most of Strive. Watched a lot of KOF, and it was all just like really top notch. People were really like in high spirits.
Yeah, people seemed very excited to be like in the same location and playing local fighting games again after a couple years of Evo Online. I forgot that the online Evos even happened. I don't think I watched any of that stuff. And so when between matches in the top eight, they would go back and play clips from the previous year, and I was like, why does this sound like no one cares? I was like, oh, because it's online and
they're doing it over Zoom.
Right.
And yeah. And even worse for them, it was region locked because they had to, you know, like a Japanese player playing against an American player over netcode isn't going to be fun. So they had an Evo Top 8 Street Fighter Japan, an Evo Top 8 EU. And like, it's cool for those regions, but like, you know, part of the fun of Evo, and it's gotten like this more than ever, is you see like six different countries in top eight, and like, you know, just people who would never get a chance to play against each other. One Evo pre-event that was really cool was Red Bull, I believe, hosted a thing where they flew out like the top eight seeded Strive players. And they did first to seven round robins against each other all week. And it was all streamed. And it was just like, you know, hundreds of matches of really good Guilty Gear. And it was just really cool seeing these players get to play against, like, Leffen, who, you know, made it really far in Evo was there, and Hitachi and other players like that who, like, well, Hitachi's American, but, like, Leffen lives in Sweden. And so getting to play in the same room with all these other people, it's different. It's so much different. And you saw that at Evo with Street Fighter, with everything.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And you know, like I've had plenty of issues with Street Fighter V over the years in terms of just like really wanting more out of that game for me personally, but like it has been a fun tournament game to watch. And so if this does end up being like the last time we see Street Fighter V at Evo, which probably is
we have Evo Japan,
right,
2022.
Yes. Yeah.
But yes, this is the last like proper Evo Prime probably for Street Fighter, and then Street Fighter 6 will get one, and then Project L is going to eat its breakfast, lunch, and dinner and be the last game of Evo for the rest of our lives.
You really think that League of Legends, I mean, okay, League of Legends is League of Legends, I will grant you.
Valorant is Valorant.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
What's Counter-Strike? What the fuck is Counter-Strike Source?
Counter-Strike is, CSGO is still the number one most played game on Steam most of the time. It's still like 400,000 people or something.
And Dota is still an extremely popular game.
Yeah.
You know, League outclasses it by an incredible amount.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I really think that, like, with the dedication that they're putting into the tech, not to, you know, we have to talk about Evo, but just like, Project L put out an update recently, and it was mostly about character design and stuff, because their first big update was about like how we're building it netcode first, and we're basically, you know, I can't remember if one or both of the Cannon brothers who basically invented GGPO and rollback are heading up this
game. Was at one point both of them. I feel like this most recent update it was just one of them talking, but I don't know.
Of them's generally been more of a behind the scenes sort of guy as well. One of them's more of a public guy. Anyways, so like they're like basically we have access to Riot's infrastructure, and we are going to build a fighting game that anyone in the world can play with each other. We have access to Riot's funds, and so we're going to take our time and make it like really fun, really accessible. They've always been about accessible fighting games. Right. You know, they tried to make Rolling Thunder a thing,
yeah,
which wasn't really a thing, but it was like a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It felt budgety.
Yeah. It felt like, you know, this is an idea whose time has come in terms of like easy inputs and all that sort of stuff. And it seemed very smart, but at the same time, it was never really.
It didn't have the like runway or the funds. It felt like, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it got them bought by Riot. You know, it was good enough to get them bought by Riot, and now they'll be fine. And I think that will be
the fighting game for like. I mean, Street Fighter will still do well. Guilty Gear will still do well. It was a really cool announcement at Guilty Gear when they said they hit 1 million sales.
Yeah,
like that was huge. That's huge for Guilty Gear. Fighting games are like the biggest and best they've ever been, so there's room for lots of games, but I think Project L is going to be like the one.
I guess I haven't really considered that, because I always look at it and go like, that looks cool, and you know, they seem to know what they're doing. I know like Seth Killian is left, he's no longer a part of that operation, but yeah, looking at it, it always seemed like, well, this will be like, you know, this will be like Rising Thunder 2.0 or whatever, and I always kind of looked at it as like, well, this will probably be cool and it'll probably work really well, and they'll have some really good ideas, but I wonder if it'll actually pick up any kind of real steam, or if it'll just be like, hey, check out this neat thing we're making. But I guess like when you frame it from the perspective of look at what they did with Valorant, like, yeah, shit, maybe.
I think before Valorant I would have been right there with you.
Yeah.
But I think seeing the success that them being like, hey, what if we did what we did for League and did it to Counter-Strike, and now it's like, what if we do that for Street Fighter? I mean, they're 2-2. They're
totally, they are. They're 2-2, but also like they made a zillion games that they never shipped, and that's kind of like the weird, scary thing about Riot, is they have the resources to just fuck around until they figure it out.
Runeterra, I also want, they've done like, Runeterra is mildly popular. I think people still play that a lot. Teamfight Tactics is still I guess they're like undefeated in stuff that has made it out.
Yeah.
But yes, they definitely are the kind of company that could be like, just kidding.
Right. Yeah. And I think they've done that a lot. But so whenever I think about like what you were saying about netcode, I think back to like this was a few years ago, and I mentioned this last week, but like Riot came in and just like had a real casual meeting with us in the office, and we just kind of sat down and went like, oh, what's up with Riot? Because we don't really, you know, it's not really something, you know, we're not like big League players, like kind of whatever.
Right. Like, obviously you're a huge company, you've got a huge game, you have interesting things to say about the space. Like,
yeah. But like they were talking about basically how like, oh yeah, we're building our own internet. And like we're building, you know, we're really like we're building all this fiber. There's just a lot of bandwidth out there going unused. So we're going to pick up some of that and do what we need to do to basically wire the world to play League of Legends. And this was pre-Valorant and all this other stuff. So you didn't really think of it. You're just like, yeah, all right. You're kind of building your own secret fucking skunk works internet, which is how they framed it. Is like, you know, they're kind of building their own internet. It's, you know, not quite.
If you could the infrastructure of the internet to be solely about your business, which is games,
right?
You could do a lot of things different.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it sounds like that they are trying to, I don't know how successful they were. Cause it was just like, that was a conversation they had that we had. And then I haven't really seen them get into detail about what they're doing networking wise. I just know that they,
and maybe that's just something they never talk about. Maybe that's just something they have. And they're like, yeah, we got this like thing.
Right. Yeah. It's like when you click the play button in League of Legends, it does dark magic shit. Like, we're not going to talk to you about it, but like we did some wild stuff. Yeah. So I guess like that would be huge in terms of like worldwide matchmaking for a fighting game. If they really have that latency where it needs to be. And of course the cannons, you know, they know a thing or two about netcode in a fighting game too. So
the reason everyone these days knows that rollback netcode is the way to have netcode is because of them.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't have this push for it if it had not been for the work that they have done.
And games kind of like literally taking GGPO's infrastructure and putting it in their game.
Yeah, like licensing it just straight up.
And people realizing like, okay, we can build our own based around this or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I guess Project L, maybe I need to like give that a little bit more credit than I have been. Because I think about it in terms of like, well, you know, the NetherRealm game is going to get announced probably, what, the Game Awards this year? And then they'll probably ship in like April or something. So maybe they'll have a new game for Evo. You assume Street Fighter VI makes it out ahead of Evo.
Yes.
Project L, who knows when that ever ships, you know.
Yeah. They said they have one more update this year. Mm. One more major update this year, so.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect that to be ready for next Evo in like a shipping form, but maybe they do some kind of larger, like, hey, we're letting people on site play it, or, you know, or yeah, some kind of.
And they have some side tournament like that they control. And that's the other thing is like they'll completely control it. I mean, every company does that now. Every company has like the, you know, Arxis League and the Capcom Cup and like their own thing. Even Smash is doing one with Panda Gaming now. Like,
right.
Every company is in control and with Riot's resources, with how they've handled esports and curated and controlled the esports scene around the league, like they obviously can draw from that in a huge way.
Totally. Yeah. And you wonder like, you know, will they consider Evo to be a major, I mean, you know, they'll want to be there, I'm sure, because of the prestige of just like, you know, hey, we got the most entrants at Evo or whatever. But like, you know, do they end up saying like, oh yeah, we'll be at Evo, but really you need to come to whatever the league off where we're going to play Project L and League of Legends and team, like all of the Riot games, Riot Fest, whatever.
Oh, that's not being used, is it?
No, I probably not.
You can have a Ferris wheel there. That sounds fun.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's get it. Okay. Yeah. Let's get it. How's the netcode on the Ferris wheel? How is the latency up there?
It depends how high up you are.
Okay. Well, I want to be low. That's where the original.
You basically don't want it to move. You want to get in and just like have it not move.
Exactly. Yeah. I just want like run an Ethernet cable to this car at the bottom, and then we'll figure it out from there. That Street Fighter V top 8 I thought was incredible. Like watching Idom fight his way through losers in like such a dominating, crazy fashion, knocking out.
It was fun seeing Daigo in the mix. You know, always, even if he goes out at seventh, it's still seventh at Evo.
Right. Yeah. It's a testament to just like how well, you know, I think a lot of people are like, oh, he's too old for this. He doesn't have the reflexes, blah, blah, blah. But like, whatever. He's still making top eights. You know, he's not winning. So maybe there's some truth to that, but like he still seems real damn good. Better than I'll ever be.
For 20 years straight.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, there's been a lot of talk recently about some of the payouts and stuff at Evo.
Yes.
Being,
oh boy.
Like what? Like $5,000, $7,000, like not.
No, like $1,700 and like,
yeah.
Like, for certain top eights on finals day, it was a really, I mean, it's one of those things where like venue fees are relatively low, and that's really the thing that gets redistributed because like you know, entrance fee goes to the venue and the organizers and stuff like that. And it's not like one of those things where like, oh, these greedy organizers are making like huge payolas off of this. Like, I don't know with Evo, I don't know how Evo handles their funds, but like most tournament organizers like struggle to break even.
Right. Evo's in a little bit of a different situation because Sony bought it, and now you start to think like
that is the thing. Yeah. Where like you saw all weekend. I'm glad it was a great tournament. I think Sony handled it well. You did see a lot of ads talking about like Sony products and Sony cameras, and you know, Sony had a huge presence there, which is to be expected. But then to also like have that come out after that, like players are making less than five figures.
They didn't even have their trip covered, you know, a lot of these players are sponsored, and that's going to lead to a separate revenue
and they have
source
salary and you know, all that taken care of. But, you know, there were, I'm sure, unsponsored players who made it into the top eight who are paying for their own everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
not for Street Fighter, I think, but like for other games.
Right. Yes. Yeah. The Jackie Chan and Fist of Fire side tournament. Which did happen. I watched it. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I was very excited.
Shout out Vortex Gallery, who streamed like 60 different games, like 30 different games over the course of Friday and Saturday. I got to watch a lot of Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which is like my favorite to watch. Watched a lot of DNF Duel, Top 32.
I'm surprised to not see DNF Duel in a more like real way there. I mean, that game
feels like they were right on the cusp.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I guess it feels like that would be the ninth game or whatever.
Yeah. Especially in a smashless world with Nintendo not wanting to associate themselves with dirty fighting game players.
Nintendo finally having a place to be like, all right, clean break. Yep. Sony
bought it. Oh, yeah. We're done now.
We don't talk to them.
Yeah.
We're not friends with them.
I mean, we are, but like not in that way. I don't know. That's probably for the best in its own way. You know, like I didn't see anyone throwing crabs at anyone at Evo. So, you know, like, you know, get Smash out of there.
There was one point in Strive Top 8, one of the players, Hitachi, one of the best American players, but it's Nago. He's a notorious like stream monster. He's like the guy at Combo Breaker, he was live streaming from his phone, Top 8, which he was in. So he would just go up on stage and put his phone down and like talk to the people on Twitch while he's doing his button checks and stuff. And like he plays it up to the camera in a big way. He's a great personality. He's young. He's like a, you know, newer kid on the scene. He doesn't play with headphones because he likes like feeling the crowd energy. He's very much a momentum based player.
Yeah.
At one point, I think to get either into losers finals or the match before, but like top four ish. He mid round just like whips around and the commentator calls it out, like, what is he doing? Like, what happened? Somebody must have, like, did somebody throw something at him? And he tweeted later, he's like, somebody let out the loudest, most blood curdling scream at me I've ever heard in my life, and it like threw me off, dude. What the fuck? I'm gonna wear headphones.
Yeah. Like, that's what you get.
it's like cool because that's his power. Like he feeds off the momentum, but then like it backfired because like he was just like, what the heck? Like,
yeah, like, oh my god, no. That's great. Yeah, it seemed like a cool show. I, you know, like maybe it's not as like big or as pompous as it was with those couple of years there when it was on ESPN. Like that felt real special, but this still felt really awesome. Again, just to have people in the same location look like people were generally speaking being pretty safe, or trying to be. And
yeah, they were constantly shouting it out, and I'm sure that it was they were maybe nudged to do it, but like they were constantly talking about like you look around and all, everyone's wearing a mask, like everyone is vaccinated, like we really care about this. And then you have some other like large events talking about like, oh, you don't need to even vaccination here, and just like it's a pretty stark contrast because Evo, you know, the argument against all of that stuff is like, oh, you know, things are kind of normal now, and like we don't want masks to be like in the way and have people thinking about it, but like it wasn't felt at Evo at all. It just felt like Evo. I mean, people wore masks, which was, you know, different than the Evo a few years ago,
but and it was fine, and it worked, and hopefully people were, you know, hopefully people were safe. There was a handful of announcements here. I guess I was expecting a little bit more from the announcement side of this show than we ended up getting. I've got a list, and there's stuff on here that I'm like, oh, that's great. That's cool that this is happening. Like, there was nothing that I looked at and went like, oh, this is terrible. Like, what is this garbage? But it was definitely like, there was not a lot in the way of like, hey, here's a brand new game. Here's the,
you didn't scream and shake somebody close to you when you saw 2 seconds of Tekken 8, a guy smile at the camera, kind of.
When a guy smiled at the camera, kind of, I went, okay, now what? Oh, okay, that's it. Okay. Okay. All right. I guess we don't, I guess we are not to ask him for shit. Yeah. And Ed Boon being pretty smart, though, it's hard to trust Ed Boon, but he did get out there ahead of time and be like, no, we're not. We don't have anything at Evo.
They're Game Awards fam now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember when, I'd forgotten that until he got out there and said, hey, we're not going to be there. And I was like, oh, right. I guess they really did tighten up the windows on, like, from announcement to release. And I remember talking to him and him saying like, oh, it was really nice to not have to like have like set up a bunch of different little preview hits and trailers and all, you know, like to just be like, here's our stuff. Then it's coming out, you know, in 6 months or less or whatever. So presumably they'll be at the Game Awards. That's my new guess, I guess, after Evo. But like, I expected that we would get a lot more multiverses news here because that seemed pretty hot, but I guess,
yeah, they had come out a couple days prior and announced that they had to push back season one a little bit.
Yeah. And I think I wonder if that got in the way of any like additional, like, hey, yeah, we were gonna announce Scorpion and Sub-Zero here, but the game is not in a good state, so
yeah, we wanted to have Morty and Rick out before we announce the next two characters, sort of thing. I take that though as a sign of like them being like, we have something here,
yeah,
let's take our time and make sure we keep this thing going, because that is like the biggest surprise game I think of the year, I would say. Like, everyone knew Elden Ring was going to be good. I mean, there's like smaller stuff, like Neon White was cool and kind of out of nowhere, but like this game being this played and this fun is like,
yeah,
I'm shocked. As somebody who like was ready to dunk on this.
Yeah, totally. As
Space Jam 2.
As someone who, yes, exactly. Like the video game version of Space Jam 2 are already is working against it. Then there's the part where it's like a Smash Brothers. And so I'm like, well, fuck all these games. Like what? There hasn't been, no one has ever made a good one of these. So since the first, all right, Smash Brothers on the N64, I got to give it to him. What a cool idea.
It's pretty cool. You could be Pikachu and he'd be like, Pika! It'd be Big Thunder.
Yeah, it was a great idea. And then it's somewhere it went good sideways. Sound effects. Yeah, awesome sound effects. I like the chunky look of the models on N64. Yeah. It was just
hand was a cool idea.
Yeah, and then they just kind of stuck with that forever. And it's like, okay, no, I did.
Never made like another one.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that they should. Like, yeah, just lost, like still. Lost to the Nintendo vaults, just like everything else, you know, just like PlayStation All-Stars.
I think it loops back to what we were talking about with Project L, and I think that a big part of this game's appeal, multiverses specifically, is free.
Mm-hmm.
It's got rollback.
Yeah,
it has characters that people know, which is like I think the least important of all of these, but like maybe the most important in terms of like casting a wide net. And
yeah,
the other things are good for reeling that net in, right?
Yeah, I think it's a twofold thing, because it's characters that you do know behaving in ways that you don't know at first. You know, there's and I think that leads to some curiosity, because you're just like, well, what? Like, okay, I know what a Batman is going to do in this situation. I don't know what. Yeah, he's got a batarang. I don't know. Is there smoke or something? Like, maybe he'll throw some smoke. Like, what the fuck is a Velma going to do in this situation?
She's
going to
yell into her microphone, and it's going to amplify through an ally. And if you hit that ally, you heal them, and then they cast a beam out of them. I'm a Velma main. I should just get this out of the way. Yeah. You picked the wrong character. I can riff on this all day.
Great. That's so. But like, I think that's also like it leads to a curiosity that you wouldn't have if you know if these were characters from other video games where you knew exactly what their movesets were and all that stuff. Having it come in and being like, what's Shaggy do? He's got a sandwich. He can throw it. Also, he can go Super Saiyan. You're like, all right, fucking what? Okay, sure, I guess.
Some characters, it's like wacky like that. But then some characters look at like, you look at what Tom and Jerry are doing. And it's like, oh, yeah, they're like fighting. Like,
right.
They're like back and forth with each other. And he hits them with a little ping pong paddle. And like, And how are we going to put LeBron James in this game? He doesn't fight. Well, he dunks on them, and when you crouch, yeah, he ties his shoes. It all just makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I had decided a little bit for a while there that I was going to try to main LeBron James, because that's just a fun thing to say out loud.
I'm a LeBron main.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm a LeBron. I know he's experimental, but I'm a LeBron main. And I like the idea of the passive being, if he does not have a basketball, if he hits someone, he gains a basketball. That's a really stupid sentence that they wrote for that game.
Much like real life, LeBron James is weaker without a basketball in his hands.
Definitely. Yeah, of course. The minute he doesn't have a basketball, the first thing you should be thinking is, I've got to get this man a basketball. I can't get off of Shaggy. I like the way Shaggy moves. I like his speed. I like his attacks. The angles he's coming at.
And I think if we were in an alternate universe and you were really into Melee, you would have been a Captain Falcon player. I think all of this tracks. You like a guy who can run around and do some moves.
Yeah, I want to push buttons and fucking do shit and make things happen. And I like to have fun. That's a little thing about me, is I like to have fun.
Yeah, I've been trying out a lot of characters in that game. I played a lot of Velma. I like the doubles quite a bit. I've had a few chances to play with some friends, which is always better than I tried playing with randos a few times, and it's okay. Sometimes you get matched up with somebody that you drive with, but sometimes it's just like a wash. But yeah, I like it. I like how they're supporting it. I think the battle pass is fine. I think, it's not as aggressive as a lot of other free-to-play games.
Yeah, not yet, and at least, but yeah, yet. It's so far. And there's been some people data mining. It looks like there might be a way to share a battle pass with another player. You kind of share progress. You probably both have to buy it, but
oh, interesting.
The idea that you're both kind of feeding into it for a game that's primarily supposed to be 2v2. That could be kind of cool.
I'm going to do something unconventional during a live stream, and I'm going to go get my charger because this one's not working.
Okay, great. All right. That's fine.
My computer's going to die.
Go and grab it. There are a handful of other announcements, of course. At Evo, the main thing seemed to be rollback for a lot of different games. Samurai Showdown, which is, that came out in 2019 or something like that. So the idea that Samurai Showdown is seeing kind of any love at all in this format is kind of cool, that they're going to add rollback to that. Dragon Ball Fighters is also going to get some form of rollback. I believe that's not going to appear in the Switch version. Or was that for Samurai Show? I took bad notes there. That's my fault. But at least one of those games is not going to get rollback on Switch because, for technical reasons, which makes sense. Rollback is not something you kind of get for free. So they can't really put rollback into every single game. Dragon Ball is not going to get rollback on Switch. That's what it is. And that to me makes sense when you think about the Switch and its relative power, and that rollback can be a relatively intensive sort of thing. But Ben, you're back. Getting back to multiverses.
Yes.
I'm shocked how much I enjoy it. This is when I was like, I've got to talk to you. It was because I kept seeing that you on Steam were just racking up the hours in multiverses, and I was like, I need to talk to someone else who's who plays these games normally and also likes multiverses to figure out what the hell it is, because I can't figure out what it is that's attracting me to this game and kind of keeps me coming back. Because I kid, but I think Smash Brothers is a really well-made thing. I just don't really like playing it competitively against people. And I don't like taking it seriously.
What was your biggest sticking point on playing it?
I think it's at a point where, and this is probably because it is such a long-lasting series. Obviously, those games change from game to game, but it's at a point now where I think the average person picking up Smash is just going to fucking beat the shit out of me. And I am not interested in playing that game enough to really get good at it. I liked Smash Brothers as a party kind of thing, a platform fighter that you're just whatever. I'm not going to necessarily take it seriously, but oh shit, we knocked that guy back. And Yeah.
A showcase of characters that you know and love, like Yoshi.
Exactly. Yeah, of Yoshi. And yeah, but like, you know, seeing those characters do the things they do in their respective games in a fighting-like context,
yes,
to me was always like really engaging. And that first game, I really, you know, I reviewed that first game. It's a cool thing. It's a really cool idea. It's something that at the time was so un-Nintendo to be like, we're making a fighting game and Mario's gonna get punched in the fucking face. And like, whoa.
I remember the first time I saw the commercial at my grandparents' house of them skipping through the fields to like that Imagine Me and You and You, that song, and then they just start beating the crap out of each other, and I was just like shocked.
Yeah.
I was like literally just like, what is this? I have to have this.
Yeah, but you know, the level of seriousness that came to that franchise by the time they had a second game out was just really off-putting. You know, so to me, as someone who, you know, would play it in a very casual context and play the single-player stuff, or, you know, play the other stuff that they had put in, like, that game just became out of reach in a way that like a lot of other games don't. And so it just became like, well, Nintendo made this like fun, like, you know, it is meant to sit alongside a Mario Kart and a Mario Party as like, look at this goofball thing we made, is competitive,
like,
and
party.
Exactly. But now it's like, I think it's even at a point where you go to play that game at a party, someone's going to be like, oh, hang on a second, they're just going to magically, a GameCube controller is going to appear out of their back pocket and they're gonna be like, yeah, let's play. And you're like, fuck this, I don't want to fucking do this. And so it's like, that is probably my biggest problem with it. But also, you know, comparing it to proper fighting games, you know, the platform fighter to fighting game difference, I still like the 1v1 staring each other down. I'm not turning my back to you. We're turning, you know, like the tropes.
Playing a distance, like the screen is the boundary. And we know that like, we have to stay within it and use it. And like, you know, Smash games do that too, but it's
a little different,
conceptual, because there's a roof and a basement. And
So like, when, what was it? There was that, there's like a Guilty Gear Isuka or whatever, that was like the 4-player Guilty Gear game. And then there was like an Onimusha game that was kind of in that similar vein, that was before this kind of all became codified into what we think of as platform fighters,
like Power Stone, even.
Sure, yeah, yeah, like Power Stone kind of fits into my view of the early kind of alternative fighting game thing for sure. But yeah, just at some point, like, Smash just became so locked down in terms of like what players wanted to do with it that it just felt like they were, you know, and whatever, they're having fun a different way. Like, but like, it really felt like they were sucking the natural fun out of that game in order to turn it into something much more serious. And so at that point, it was just like, all right, I'm never going to engage with this game on that level. And I'm just kind of done with it. So, you know, I was always kind of curious about, you know, some of the other games that came out, I always forget the name of it. There's the indie platform fighter.
There's a few. The biggest in terms of like popularity and player was Brawlhalla,
yeah,
which is like one of the only ones I never touched.
Right, and Rivals of Aether is the one I'm always thinking
Rivals
of.
Rivals of Aether, but like, oddly enough, Brawlhalla is the one that Multiverses gets most compared to of the like second wave platform fighters, or whatever you want to call it, classify it. Where it's a little bit floatier, it's a little bit more about running around the stage rather than like comboing a guy, I guess. I shouldn't be talking about Brawlhalla. I really don't know much about it. But yeah, I mean, like, none of the games really took off because it's a hard thing where it's like, okay, I want to make a game that's like Smash Bros, but it's also going to be my own thing, right? Like, I'm going to have some take on it, some spin on it. Like, you have to have some kind of artistic intent to it. Otherwise it's like soulless and you're just obviously trying to like cash in. So like Multiverses is like Smash, right? Like, it is a game where you are trying to knock people off of the screen at a high percent. It has some subtle differences to Smash that I think make it more approachable, where outside of like the high tier, outside of what you see people, like, I didn't watch really any of it at Evo, but I had watched a tournament that was being hosted by Hungrybox, the Smash player, a few days prior, or like a week prior or something. And it was singles. So it was really for sicko. It was really just like, you, like the top eight was people who would play like Tom and Jerry or Bugs Bunny and would have like a 60% combo. They would be able to just like whip out on you, which is crazy for that game because it's more focused on straight hits. It's more focused on kind of winning these engagements in neutral rather than like edge guarding. There's no corner, which is something I liked a lot about Rivals. There's no like ledge to grab on, so you can't like, you don't have to worry about this weird game of like this rock, paper, scissors thing at the corner and like, do I have to grab it and stuff? There's just a wall and you can climb up the wall. I like that. Like, it feels fun scooting up that wall in multiverses, like making it back like that.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a platformer, you know? Like,
right. Yeah.
Kind of doing like a little wall ride rather than this weird complex mini game where there's this magic magnet. And if you get within the magnet, you come back with 11 frames of invincibility. And do you roll or do you jump? And just like, there is recovery, but it's, and there's actually a lot of it because you can do 2 air dodges, 2 jumps, and 2 special moves
right
before you touch the ground, which is a crazy amount of things. Like, there's daily achievements in the game for like, do this, like recover by doing all 6 of these things before you touch the ground. And it really shows you like how long you can stay alive. Right.
Right. Like, yeah.
And I think that adds to it. I think like being, not being like, shined off of the stage by Fox McCloud or tippered by Marth at 40% and dying because they have this movement tech down that you just can't even like get close to. I think this game is a little more rewarding in that regard.
Yeah, I feel like when I'm getting knocked out in multiverses, it's usually because I am high enough damage to justify it. It's not like, oh, I guessed wrong trying to get back on the stage, or I fell off and screwed up or whatever.
Once in a while you get hit by like a big down air and you're like, okay, they earned that. Yeah, they like really got out there and got me.
They went out there and made sure that I was not going to get back on. It was less like they're going to stand here and make me play a guessing game, and more like it was more aggressive, which is always, I think, more entertaining.
Yes.
I like the dodge mechanic over the like shield. Like the bubble shield thing was something I never really liked about Smash either.
I think the you know, it's an early game and like people, I'm tuned in on the competitive discussion or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like what people think about the game. And I think the only complaint that I feel is interesting to engage with is that the dodging is a little, you can do it a little too much in like 1v1 situations. Mm-hmm. I think in 2v2 it becomes way more chaotic and it's fine to be able to dodge around a bunch because it's just like way more of a clusterfuck trying to get some hits.
Right.
But in a 1v1 setting, it feels like you can be rewarded to be a little spammy with the dodge. And who knows if that's not something that they're going to tweak or.
Yeah, I mean, they said it sounds like that they're looking to nerf Bugs Bunny, which is a dumb sentence to say out loud. And you know, all that sort of stuff.
Thank God LeBron James was banned at Evo, because if they had a pre-nerfed Bugs Bunny in there would have been zero LeBron.
That's why I didn't go, is because, you know, once I heard that they were not going to allow LeBron in, it was like, well, why would I even go to Evo now for their cool side tournament, you know?
And I like what they've done so far with the balance, though, where, like, you know, Taz was a terror online because Taz's special was very low risk, very high reward. It was a button you could just kind of activate, and if players didn't really know what to do with it, they would get hit by it and die at, like, 30% sometimes. And they're like, okay, obviously this is bad. We are going to get rid of this, but, like, the character will really suck, and so we're going to have to take some time to make him good. He's going to suck for a while, guys.
Yeah.
Like, in their patch notes, they're like, we know this is going to break this character, but, like, we're committed to making him fun and interesting.
Yeah, and that's, it's, when they launched it, you know, it's very easy to be cynical, and I do think it's a weird, because they're calling it an open beta, and they push back the launch of Season 1 for their open beta, but also, they will happily let you spend hundreds of dollars on cosmetics and characters and all this other stuff. So it's like, whether it's a beta or not is kind of beside the point. Like, the game is out for all intents and purposes. So yeah, because the characters are being sold, if you were like, I saved up all my money this week and I bought Taz. Oh shit. Now Taz sucks. Oh shit. Like that would be a real bummer. But yeah, I don't know. Like it's stuff that they have to do. They also were out there talking about that they were looking to have a pretty big overhaul of the hitbox and hurtbox system in that game, which sounds like a pretty traumatic thing to be taking on once your game is already technically kind of out there. But I guess some stuff you don't really notice until you're out.
Like when you play against them, you're like, that shouldn't have hit me. Like Finn comes to mind as an example of like, he'll swing his sword and I will be on the other side of the screen. I'm like, I don't even know that little guy was near me.
Yeah. Yeah. Finn seems like the big complaint.
I think lining stuff up to make it look like it should work or shouldn't work.
Yeah. That's a big deal. But yeah, I'm having fun with it, and I did not expect that. And that's for as soulless and like what you said when we first started talking about it, like the Space Jam 2 kind of effect of just like, look at what this corporation can bring to bear. I was like, oh god, this is a nightmare.
The IP we control,
right?
And it's like, and I mean, you know, that's a lot of their marketing, obviously. Yeah. Like, it's like, whoa, look at this. It's Tom and Jerry and Harley Quinn teaming up to fight Batman and Bugs Bunny. And then you're like, I'm like, oh, that's a little soulless. And then I get in the game and I'm playing Superman and Bugs Bunny hits me off the top of the screen with a hammer and says, you know, I had to do it to him.
Yep.
I'm just like, oh, okay,
all right.
Okay. Yeah. They got me.
Yeah, I can't be too mad at that. So I don't know. I've been playing it on PC, but also on the Steam Deck, and that's been a pretty good I can fire it up in bed and knock out a couple of matches, and that's been kind of cool.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's been nice.
I'm looking to get mine. I should be able to get it this year. Nice. I was reading they moved all the production up.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. 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 They definitely ramped up production in a way that like people are like getting them quite a bit faster. And now they're taking pre-orders for like Japan and some other territories as well. So
cool.
They're definitely solving that problem of getting them out there, man. I've been talking about it for a while, but like the Steam Deck is so much fun. It is so fucking cool to just like fuck around with it and like have this weird little Linux device that Valve has like bolted a bunch of cool compatibility shit on top of. Like you can kind of fuck around with yourself or install other people's versions of the compatibility layers. So like, you know, for the longest time, Halo Infinite was not supported at all. It wouldn't run, but there was some shit you could install that would make it work, and it worked pretty much just fine. And then Valve just rolled some of
pretty much just fine, huh?
Well, so like, you know, the frame rate wouldn't always be perfect. And like, you're kind of running it on medium settings. And for a while, a mouse cursor was stuck in the center of the screen. Playable, but, you know, it's got...
to be fair, I had that happen with Star Wars Battlefront 2 recently, and I was playing that normally on my PC.
Exactly. Origin. So, you know,
I had to disable the Origin overlay to get it to go away.
Shit happens, you know? But then just, you know, Valve has their kind of like bleeding edge version of the compatibility tools, and those updated recently, and now Halo just runs on that. And so you can play Halo Infinite on a Steam Deck now. And there's just something so fucking crazy about that. And Multiverse has worked out of the box. Like as soon as it shipped, it was working right away. And just having that moment of like, well, they're not saying it's verified. They haven't done the testing yet. Some games launch verified, like Stray. When Stray came out, they're like, yeah, this will run on a Steam Deck. With Multiverses, there's still just a big question mark next to it because they're just like, fuck, man, we don't know. Maybe it's broken, but
the game's not even out yet.
Exactly. It's just an open beta. What are you going to do? And so like I installed Phantasy Star Online 2 on it a couple nights ago because there are some workarounds you can do to get that going. It's fun for playing.
Like, do you have any dream characters to be added? Because I've got three that I think
added to Multiverses.
Because you've got all of WB, you've got all of Discovery, because there is the merger now, you know?
That's right.
A little reaching across the aisle.
Gosh.
HBO.
I mean,
Tony Soprano in there.
Yeah, well, for HBO, I mean, could we get Ronnie Dobbs from Mr. Show?
You can get a taxi driver from Taxi.
Taxi Cab Confessions. Yeah.
Confessional.
Yeah, we get some, the guy from Dream On. We put him in there.
So my big three are Fat Bastard from Austin Powers.
Okay, yeah.
Or Dr. Evil, but I think Fat Bastard would be my choice. The Property Brothers in there as Ice Climbers.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And Guy Fieri.
Yep, Guy Fieri, I feel like, is a must-have. I feel like Guy Fieri and Shaggy would have a similar... Like, I want Guy Fieri to also turn Ooh, Super Saiyan.
I think that's a... Well, he's already Super Saiyan, so he'd have to be, like, Super Saiyan God.
Exactly, Super Saiyan. Yeah. You would need another level there.
I saw somebody from chat say the guy from Cash Cab. Yes, Ben Bailey from Cash Cab asking you trivia questions, and if you get them wrong, you get knocked off the stage.
Yeah. Do you think? Well, I mean, do you think that there should be? Should it just be Fat Bastard or Dr. Evil, or should there just be an Austin Powers, Mike Myers sort of, and it works like Ryu in
Pokemon Trainer.
Yeah, yeah. Where it's
you can kind of swap between them.
Yeah. And he just morphs into Fat Bastard for a while, and then morphs into Austin Powers, and then morphs into the Love Guru, and then
it's just Mike Myers. You get all the characters from the hit Pentaveret.
Yep, put them all in.
I know you're a big Pentaveret. Do you know Mike Myers shows Hog in his new Netflix show, The Pentaveret?
Does he really? Do you think
nobody is talking about it because nobody's
talking about The Pentaveret. Yeah, I feel like the only thing I've heard about The Pentaveret is, did you know that Mike Myers made a thing and it's terrible? And like, oh, really? Weird.
We watched the first episode of it. He plays more characters than he's ever played before.
Great.
That's my review.
Great. That sounds great. Do you think it is his own personal, true, legit Hog, or is it enhanced? Is this a stunt cock? What's the situation?
So I haven't seen it. I was speaking to somebody on Twitter about it, and their theory is that it is normal enough to be his. It's not like an obvious fake. You look at that, and I think he's at a point in his career where he's ready to do it.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
I think we all get to that point in our once you master your craft, what really is there else to do?
That's a good point. All right, with that, well, let's just break it out. Twitch won't mind. What else happened at Evo? They put out there's a couple of just brief little things saying
Fatal Fury.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Which could be really exciting, but it's been so long. I don't know. Like, there's those sprite sheets from Mark of the Wolves 2 always show up now and then, and you just see them and just go like, man, I would have really liked to have seen one more follow-up to Mark of the Wolves. Like, that 2D animation looked so great. Those games were so fun. It's now, things are so different now that, like, what even is that game? It's a 3D, it's a polygonal, what makes it different from King of Fighters? I mean, obviously there are things, but it's roster stuff. It's hey, this isn't really a 3-on-3 game. Do they do the front line, back line, jump back and forth stuff that they have done in some of those? Like, I'm not as immediately excited for it as I would have been if they said, hey, we're making Mark of the Wolves 2 or a new Garou game, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it was.
Sure. It'll be interesting because fighting games are, like I said, bigger and better than ever. Mm. But there is a huge audience for these games, but like, who knows how much that name means to the average Evo watcher. Like, I want to say that they are aware of it, but then like, when did Mark of the Wolves come out?
It was like 99, 2000.
Yeah, I would say around the turn of the century. So yeah. Like, that's 23 years ago.
Ugh. Yeah, like, whatever. But at the same time, like, it's characters from King of Fighters, which is still popular, and Mark of the Wolves is an all-time great game, so it's got that.
All those games, like all those SNK games, will kind of borrow from each other, so you might get like a Sam Show character in there, and who knows, even a Guilty Gear character might show up, and like,
yeah, they could do some weird stuff on that. But also I might say that like some of these, I would have said that Guilty Gear, when I think about the long history of Guilty Gear games, that there would never, if you had asked me even a year ago, would Guilty Gear be the most entered game at Evo? I would have said no fucking chance. Absolutely not in a million years. I love Guilty Gear. I love that it exists, but come on, you're being stupid.
But here we are. There always has to be one. There's always one Street Fighter competitor for that top slot, right? There's always like one that is usually second, and a lot of the times it's Mortal Kombat, mm-hmm. right? Like, those games get crazy high entries because NetherRealms does huge pop bonuses, and they really support those games, and it's also just like a huge audience of people that like Smash. I guess Smash became that eventually, right, where it was like, you know, Smash Ultimate became the most or second most entered thing. But there's always got to be like one anime game for like the real fighting game freaks to all come together on. Like Strive is a lot of people's first games, but it's a lot of people's second games. It's a lot of like anime players, like Undernight players will also play Strive,
right,
and you know, Melty Blood players will also play Strive, and it's kind of that like that Street Fighter thing where it's like, oh yeah, I'll play some Street Fighter, like, and then it just is well supported. Street Fighter is very old at this point. Mm-hmm. Smash isn't there,
right?
So like, yeah, it's so just it kind of has a lot that, of stuff to come together. Yeah
and the game is good enough to deserve it from the looks of it. You know, I have not really stayed current with Strive, but
we saw great character spread, which is fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always fun when you see a top eight with like, I think the only repeat character was Zato, which is cool. You had a Mei in grand finals, which like Mei hasn't been showing up at tournaments at all, at least the ones I've been watching, like Combo Breaker and CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a cool announcement. I think it was smart of them to get it done before top eight started, because it was like 10 o'clock already. Street Fighter had gone pretty long with an insane and really like exciting top eight.
Yep.
But then their announcement of like, all right, they've been teasing that, you know, season two is starting soon. They're like, okay, we're bringing back Bridget, which was like a big kind of one of the bigger fan favorites who wasn't in Exerd.
Right.
So like has been missing for a while. And then the like the 1-2 punch of like, and you can get her tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's super so cool.
She's already out.
Yeah.
And had a really, they played a fucking AMV, a Guilty Gear AMV before it started. Daisuke came out and was just like, yo, check this shit out. It's cool. Thanks for a million.
That's great.
And then they played like an AMV, and it was like, you know, a Guilty Gear song and Soul Bad Guy fighting some people. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah,
I like Guilty Gear.
Yeah, like it's good of them to know the things that make Guilty Gear stand out, and the things that make Guilty Gear awesome are fucking that it rips. That game just fucking rips. And so I don't know, like that seems like the exact right way to do that sort of stuff. There's some Street Fighter VI announcements, some new characters, which had leaked out of some Capcom Germany. Capcom. They're really good at leaking. They find fun new ways to leak their shit every single time. This time, my understanding is that it was Capcom Germany put up something early to confirm Juri and Kimberly as the characters.
Okay, I didn't see that. I saw the one huge leak that happened like right away, basically.
Back when they first announced the game with all the characters, and that's.
But I haven't seen the like individual, even like double leaks.
Yeah. This was like, here's the Evo announcement, and now this is leaking too. And so that happened. That trailer looks great. I was fortunate enough to play some of that game a couple of months ago, and holy shit, it seems so good. It seems like the when you think about that whole thing of, man, how do you make a new Street Fighter game? That's got to be really hard. This feels like a good, like almost like a good, like it could be a good starting point. We'll see. I don't know. But like it's slow and deliberate and very chunky. And those hits just fucking, they smash into each other. And it's just got a really nice look to it. The game feels really good. I didn't get to play against another human. So like, I'm kind of like, it's theoretical until that happens.
But I think that was a big thing for me with 5 is four had such an identity. It was like, we're bringing back 2D and we're getting this like black and white ink kind of, I remember that first trailer where Ryu's fighting Ken and you see all the ink swelling around them. And it was like, they were making a statement, like, you know, focus attacks are a clear mechanic that like feeds into that statement. And then 5 came out and was just like, it has the V trigger stuff and like it has ideas, but it just doesn't feel like it has like a core soul to it.
Right.
I think they got there eventually. That game looks fun. People love it.
Definitely.
Now.
And but like, you know, that was even one of those things, like I think a lot of that soul comes from characters having reasons why they're there and lore and, you know, like all that stuff helps, right? So when they launched without a story mode, like I think a lot of people were like, well, whatever, who plays the story anyway? But I think when we're talking about Street Fighter and it being such a big mainstream thing, like, yeah, a lot of people, like, that's why Mortal Kombat sells so much, because it sells to people that have, would never watch Evo and are just like, whatever, I want to see what the fucking, what the Skull Ninja does this time.
I think that this game is doing, so if Street Fighter 4 was to Street Fighter 2, this game is to Third Strike. I think this game is taking Street Fighter, it's giving it more of like a street feel, because like that's a big part of Street Fighter is the word street. Like, Third Strike was a street game.
Yeah,
like,
there are two words in that title. They've done. Yes. They've all had fighting. Focused a little too,
right, and Five focused a little too hard on fighting, I think, and it got lost in it. And this game is like, it's cooler. Yes. You know, like the characters when I first saw like Jake. I'm thinking Jake Paul, Luke.
Same thing. Yeah, honestly, you're there. Yeah,
when I first saw him, yeah, I'm like, oh, that's like cringe, whatever. He's this like, he's this influencer type kind of guy. But like, the more I see it, like Ryu getting mad at him and just being like, these fucking kids these days, I'm like, yeah, actually, this kind of like makes sense for what you would do. Because like Yun and Yang were like, you know,
Dweeby, young upstart assholes, like
kung fu movies. Yeah. And we're like, you know, we're in your face, and now like those characters are beloved.
I am way into the ways in which Luke sucks. Like, it seems like a very custom crafted to be like, he's in a PMC and he loves fucking video games, and he wears this shitty hat, and you're like, God, everything about Luke just fucking sucks. And then they open the trailer with him getting the shit beat out, and I'm like, yeah, exactly. Yes, introduce Luke first, so every other trailer after it could be people beating the shit out of Luke.
You've got, like, Ken, who's like, yeah, the divorce hit me hard, you know.
Liza took the kids.
Yeah, I'm still fighting, but...
That's all I got left of these fists.
Yeah.
And then Kimberly in the trailer having, like, way more of a graffiti, like, a more overt graffiti vibe, like they're literally even showing cans of spray paint and stuff like that.
Like super, I think she like, yeah, she like tags you up with her super.
Yeah, I think that's really neat. I think she looks like a really interesting character, and yeah, I don't know, man, they're off to the races. I'm all the way in. I'm excited about what they're doing, and
that's really good. It looks like they're doing everything right. They're even like, I think they learned their lesson with Five not having a story mode at launch.
Yeah,
and like the secret is nobody really cares about story mode in fighting games. Like, there are rare exceptions, obviously, but like them not having it at all and people getting really put off by that, and them being like, okay, we're gonna do something new, what if we like made it a Yakuza open world, I don't know, fucking what do you want, like, right, let's just do this and see if you guys like it, I don't know.
Yeah,
and if it's like, if it's close to Yakuza in quality, the open world, like I like Yakuza games, but like the open world is still very much a PS2 style, like open world.
Yes,
if they can achieve at least that, I think it'd be interesting.
Definitely. I think that's it's the sort of thing that you don't. It's very easy to say, oh, no one cares about the single player mode until you omit it. It's the same thing that I think Battlefield, once they started fucking around with it, and then Call of Duty eventually said, like, well, what if we didn't have a proper single player mode? And people are like, hey, fuck you. This is you fucked up is what happened. And so I think that's, you know, the Street Fighter V kind of maybe learned that a little bit the hard way. I'm just excited that it feels like, and I haven't talked to anyone who's directly on the Street Fighter VI team. You know, I just talked to some folks at Capcom US. And I don't know, I just, you get the impression from looking at the game that this is a team that is like, all right, this is going to be our post Ono Street Fighter, and it's ours now, and we're going to make it ours. It's the Triple H took over wrestling, and now it's different and revitalized. Like, this feels like that, which is a weird reference, but it feels like that. It feels like that they are unafraid to strike out in some new directions that maybe they would not have gone in before because of the leadership of that team. And that's maybe the most exciting part about it, is to like see what they can really do.
Yeah, and they've been supporting the pro scene pretty well for a while, like Capcom Cup. People like, you know, they do a good spread of tournaments throughout the world. Like, they really are really good at getting world interest in, like, Tekken. I think like those two games are probably have the biggest worldwide appeal of like fighting games, and they know how important it is to like get, here's a tournament here's a bunch of tournaments in South America and EU and like Saudi Arabia and places that, you know, 5 years ago there would be like maybe one tournament in the EU, maybe two tournaments in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been cool to see too. That it's like, these aren't just regions where everyone plays Fightcade. We're going to treat them, like proper regions for this game. They also,
it is the World Warrior. It is the game where you are a World Warrior.
It's true. It's true. You are indeed a World Warrior. They've added some additional announcers. They had two that they announced alongside the game, and now Tasty Steve and James Chen will
classic.
Be in the game. Who's missing? Who are the hypest Street Fighter announcers?
I haven't watched the competitive Street Fighter in a long time. I mean, like, really? The answer is Seth Killian.
Yep. I think you need Seth in there. I think that I was going to say Yipes, and a lot of people in the chat are saying Yipes as well.
Yipes is like, you know, Yipes is obviously more of a Marvel / he does a lot of Strive Now guy, but mm-hmm. like, he is the greatest fighting game commentator and one of the greatest like callers of any sort of competitive thing of all time. Like, I'm willing to say, like, I was watching Evo for a little while and just chatting with a friend. We were just talking about what was going on, and Yipes was doing Strive, and he was just doing that thing where he just screams yep. when people get hit. And I'm like, God damn, he is one of the greatest screamers to ever live. Just, he can just like he yeah. is on another level.
If they just had that in Street Fighter 6, every time a hit lands, you're like, that would be really, really silly, but really great. I maintain that I honestly
probably don't want to have commentators commentating my matches. Maybe I'll like it, but like, initially my reaction is that's not something I want. If it's just Yipes screaming, I'm all in.
Yeah, so you know, that's been a thing that I think, you know, since the game first got shown, people were like, oh my god, what the fuck's wrong with this announcer thing? But, and I do think it's something that people will usually eventually turn off, you know, and you absolutely can. But as I was playing it for the first time, having those announcers on, like, there was just enough tactical knowledge about, like, you know, like, oh, this life lead, this happened. Like, things that if you're not playing Street Fighter seriously, you never, ever think about. But the resource management end of, like, meter management and all that other stuff is a big deal. And so having announcers that just call that out.
Oh, sure.
Is something that is going to get new players to consider, like, oh, that's a thing that I should be. And when they do turn it off, it'll be because they've learned that. And they go like, oh, okay, this is a point in this game that I need to know more about in order to get really better at this game. And so I think
certain casters lend themselves more of that kind of educational style. Like some people are just like hype shoutcasters, and they just like to yell what's going on. Some people are like there to, usually a good duo has one of each,
right,
to like fill in information, talk about like, oh, these adjustments need to be made, like, you know.
Yeah.
So you died with full meter. Like, you never want to do that.
Exactly. Like, so, you know, having situational like speech like that, that can kind of point out when, you know, hey, there's something to be learned here, I think is what's going to make that system actually really useful for a lot of people. And then, yes, but anyone who already knows all that stuff, if it's not like hype, ridiculous screaming or whatever, like, you're going to turn it off. Cause even in the handful of fights that I did with the two announcers they had, when I played the game, you heard the same speech, you know, in multiple occasions. You know, it's there's only so many lines recorded.
Do you have any impression of how granular it gets to like character specific stuff? Or
I'd have to go back and watch the footage. I don't remember off the top of my head if it really got character specific. Yeah. I don't think it gets to
like, oh, big super.
Yeah, there's stuff like that, or like, he's got meter, or, you know, like those sorts of call outs about like, oh, the other player has this, you've got this. And so it'll get that level of specific, but maybe not as granular down to the matchup or anything like that. That would be cool, though, if they recorded matchup specific stuff. But that's something that I don't think they'll be able to do until the game is out. It's the sort of thing where like the pre-launch announcers, I think, will be really good at this sort of stuff. And if they really wanted to go for it and have like way deeper stuff, they could either go back with these announcers or announce new announcers, whatever. But like post-launch, once the tier lists kind of shake out a little bit, once there's gets to be a sort of like, we know how the flow of this is competitively, then they could start having those call outs and be like, oh, you know, hey, this is a fucking 10-0 matchup every single time. So
and the commentators will have the experience of calling those matches in real time and like be able to come back with that experience and that knowledge.
Yeah. There's a lot of potential there in that system if they wanted to go for it. But I think out of the gate, it'll be a really good kind of rolling tutorial for players, but I agree with you. It is something that I think a lot of people will turn off. But I think people would be doing themselves a disservice if they didn't leave it on at least at first, just to get a feel for like what the hell it's all about. Because I think it's
just to like, you know, I mean, there's something to pretending you're at Evo, right? Like yeah. something to like, you know, it's the last round and you hit some big super and they start popping off for you and you're
yeah.
just like,
oh, yeah, that's shit. Right. Yeah. yeah. It's Yatagarasu all over again.
James Chen in that.
Too. Yeah, there you go. So, gosh, yeah, that's pretty much, there was some Tekken stuff. They're going to have what they are calling a battle update, which is, it sounds like it is going to be a balance patch, but also maybe giving players some new moves and stuff in there along the way.
I've seen a lot. I don't follow Tekken too closely. I watch it at mm-hmm. some of it at Evo every year. But the thing I hear over and over again is all the 2D characters are broken.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, like all of the Akuma and
Geese
and all those guys are fucked up and broken. So maybe they'll be doing something to address that. I can't believe we didn't talk about it yet.
Had to save it Tekken for the 8. Best for last.
Tekken 8 confirmed. Wait, we did talk about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Harada attacked the announced desk.
And then Harada's on the loose!
Harada's on the loose. Someone asked him for shit, and he was not having it. They're going to put this battle update out, and then they showed this like different looking Kazuya model that was it shifted from the end of Tekken 1 into this like the volcano scene, and then they left it at that. They didn't come out and say, hey, here's Tekken 8. They didn't even come out and say, hey, here's the next Tekken. So it's a lot of people going like, does this mean they're remastering Tekken 1, which is a terrible idea? Like, here's Tekken, but it's only the 8 characters, you know, the 12 characters from the first game, and we made it like a little bit
of their moves.
Yeah. That doesn't make a lot of sense. But also, yeah, he's much more scarred up and all this other stuff, so you can presume that it is much later in the timeline.
He's been in a volcano many times at this point.
Yes. Have we all. So, yeah, I don't know. This seems like it's probably as straightforward as, yes, this is the next Tekken game. But it led to a lot of
2024, we might be playing Tekken 8.
Sure. Yeah. I guess. I don't know. This was, it was such a weird non-announcement that
it was somehow even a less of an announcement than a new Garo has been greenlit with a JPEG over it.
Right. Yes. Has been greenlit. Not even like, here's some footage, not even, it's like, we've decided to spend some money making the next
all just ended, like the, you know, yeah. the sign off just happened,
airstrike approved, and they hang up the phone and like, go type the text onto the render the video out, we've got to get it to Evo. I don't know, but
there was the I do want to give a quick shout out, there was a surprise announcement that Ultimax got rollback, right
yep,
and it was out immediately, you yeah. can go play it, and I've heard that it's very high quality, which is yeah. cool.
That's awesome. That's a cool game that I wish I played more of, and now that it's got rollback, yeah. I will tell myself that I'm gonna play more of it and then not. That's my,
do you know, there's a character I never really played the second one, I played a decent amount of the first one, but Junpei, I think his name is, from Persona 3, the mm-hmm. baseball guy.
Yeah.
You know about his shit? How he has a whole strike, ball, and out mechanic whenever you like hit a baseball, and it's like on-screen meters for strikes and balls and shit. Like, I watched a YouTube video called like the most insane fighting game mechanic of all time. And it was just how this character has a whole baseball
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, that's
I love that it exists.
Character specific meters in games they cut both ways, where it's like, that's awesome that they did that, and that's way too complicated. It's ridiculous. What are we doing? But also, that's great. Yeah, I think on PC it's still technically in a beta branch. Like, you can still they have something on the patch notes about how to opt in to the rollback beta. And they've done a few opt in betas for that game since it came out, because when it launched, like, the volume was broken. There was just a bunch of weird shit. I don't know. Like, it's not news that they're going to make another Tekken. I think Tekken 7's been around since 2015 or something insane like that. Like, we're almost overdue for another Tekken. But to just not, it feels like this would be the time for a big, full throated, full on announcement. Not like, wink,
next
wink.
Gen, you know, here's, PS5, yeah. Like, yes. Because we're current gen doesn't have like a big Keystone fighter yet.
No, it doesn't. It's been a lot of stuff that are technically PS4 games, and well, like Strive, there's a PS5 version of that,
right?
For sure, but you know,
assumedly Street Fighter 6 will be PS. Do you think have they announced platform? Will there be a PS4 version of Street Fighter 6?
That's a good question. My gut reaction was to say yes, definitely there will be a Street Fighter a PS4 version. But yeah. I
think it's smart to do, but
yes, it's been announced for PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox Series X/S. So not Xbox One.
Okay.
At least in terms of announcements, maybe that'll change, but they have said PS4.
I could see maybe a Tekken really tapping into the current gen hardware.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be
think really, of how shimmery the water would be on the infinite water stage.
That would be some wet ass water right there. That's that'd be pretty good. Well, that's it for Evo. Why don't you say we get into the news?
I'm
gonna push this button and it's gonna play music again. Now let's talk about the rest of the news. They're gonna make a Pac-Man movie. Ben Pack, are you attached to star in the Pac-Man movie? Have you agreed to remove the K from your name in order to better celebrate this tremendous synergy?
Yes, that's right. I'm so excited. I am actually allowed to make an exclusive announcement here. Pac-Man, I am involved. I will not be playing Pac-Man, but I'm more of a consultant. And I'm really excited to announce that we have gotten Chris Pratt to do the voice of Pac-Man.
Great.
He is going to do a Pac-Man voice unlike you've ever heard before.
Hey, it's a Waka Waka. Saying, like
Pac-Man's going to be owning some woke critics. You're going to love it. He's going to be out there saying shit that Pac-Man has never said before.
Oh, finally, an unfiltered Pac-Man. I'm tired of the shackles.
That's right. No Miss Pac-Man allowed. You will not see a single bow in this movie. Of course, the baby will be there. Going to be voiced by James Franco as Fidel Castro.
Great. Yeah, Fidel Castro as Pac Baby, as James. Yeah, no, I love this is all solid casting. I mean, these are guys with proven box office potential. You know, if you want to make a movie these days, you got to get the guys that are going to get you the Boku Box Office.
We're partnering with HBO Max. I'm really excited. They said they're really committed to making a big power play.
Yeah.
Power pellet. Sorry, power, I read
power,
that wrong.
Sorry, power pellet play.
Pellet.
Yeah. So this is, according to the Hollywood Reporter, this project will be based on an original idea from Chuck Williams of Lightbeam Entertainment, who is affiliated with the Sonic the Hedgehog movies, which to me is pretty much the only sentence in this thing of like, oh, right, yes. Someone who was partially responsible for all the money Sonic the Hedgehog is making was like, hey, what about that Pac-Man? That guy.
What about Pac-Man? What about Dig Dug?
Did you see Pixels? Everyone loves Pac-Man.
Car.
Yeah. Did you ever watch
Guardians of the Galaxy 2? Huge, mm-hmm. huge Pac-Man cameo.
Definitely. Did you ever watch the Pole Position cartoon? I know you're probably a little too young for it, but
I watched the Speed Racer cartoon.
Okay. Well, that's even older, but much better known than. They did do a, it was like they were driving race cars and fighting crime. I don't know. Like that had nothing to do with, I mean, Pole Position, you just drove, but it's a, they did that. This is also coming from a company called Wayfarer Studios. They've got some names, that I'm, you know, Baldoni and Manu Gargi and Andrew Karloff, you know, those guys. Wayfarer Studios is a company that also attached to this. They recently raised $125 million from Sarawitz for expanded production growth, according to Hollywood Reporter, and they were behind the Disney Plus feature Clouds. And they're also making a football drama called The Senior and a coming-of-age dramedy called Empire Waste. W-A-I-S-T. Yeah. That makes even less sense. So they're saying this is going to be live action, a live action Pac-Man film. I assume.
Do you think it's going to be kind of like, what's that movie? No, I'm not. Do you think it's just going to be like a guy who's kind of cursed to eat more and more things, and he's just kind of like satiated? How do you make this live act?
It's CG, right? I mean, it's a CG Pac-Man in the real world, probably, right? Is there?
Oh, like Sonic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just do everything like Sonic for a little while.
Yep. Definitely.
But
so
Pac-Man isn't known for like talking.
There's a bunch of stuff where he did, though. I mean, if you think about like
that, he sounds all weird.
There was the, right? There was the original ABC cartoon in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then there was also some Disney XD Pac-Man, like Pac-Man the New Adventures or whatever the hell they called it. So like they've got cartoon roots to build on, I guess it
makes sense where you do a Sonic thing. You pair Pac-Man with a guy, some, you know, white
maybe
guy.
They get Ben Schwartz to play the dumb white guy in this one.
He's too funny. You need somebody who's not funny to be with Pac-Man, because James Marsden is, like, you know, very serious. And
definitely.
But who's, I guess, the ghost? You can get four, like, SNL people to be the ghosts.
Yep. It's just Pete Davidson as all four of them.
Pete Davidson as Blinky. James Austin Johnson as Dot.
James Austin Johnson!
Sure, and Pac-Man's running around, he's eating stuff he's not supposed to, but then he gets a power pellet.
Yeah. Is that a second act discovery that power pellets exist?
No.
Like, oh, these ghosts are really fucking us up. Okay, yeah.
It's gotta be, the thing. Because, have you watched Sonic 2?
No, I have not. I have not watched either of the Sonic films yet, and I need to. I've realized that
Sonic
I need to.
Sonic 1... I have some problems with Sonic 2 is they're more emboldened by the success of the first one. And I think it works because it has more confidence to do really bad shit. But I think really bad shit with confidence is better than like just kind of half-assing it.
Yeah.
But you know, it's kind of the thing where, spoiler alert, he goes supersonic at the end to fight Dr. Robotnik.
Okay.
And like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. He does the thing from the game. Like, that's how all of these movies have to end. Mario gets a star.
Yeah.
Asteroid guy puts another quarter in.
Yeah. All the classics. The
Lion Piece shows up in the Tetris movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Rock plays. I guess The Rock would play the brick. Who's like your big, tall, skinny
guy? Daniel Stern.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis and Daniel Stern in a dual role.
I actually got in character to play the line piece. I hid and waited in my trailer until they were like, we really need him to show up.
And then I was there. Did you know the new Tetris rules that I show up every seven pieces anyway? It's not like the old days anyway.
Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. The current Tetris rules is the
woke new Tetris. Ooh, everyone gets a line piece.
It's you get one of every piece before you see repeats.
Ugh.
In
our day, you used to, there wasn't even a hold. You would just get what you got.
You get what you got, and that was it. And then you would go 20 minutes with those straight pieces, and then you would buy a Game Genie, and then you would get all line pieces, and that was also fun in its own disgusting way.
Then you're just playing with Lincoln Logs.
Exactly, yeah. You're just like, these Tetrises are really easy to line up. Pac-Man, this is a really troubling concept for me in a lot of ways, because I just like Pac-Man has been so many different things over the years. But now that I'm thinking about it as like, oh, they'll just capitalize on what they've already done for some of these cartoons and what worked for Sonic, and they will, you know, fart this out and it will probably do okay. Cause I don't think Pac-Man has the legs that Sonic does.
Hey now. Did you do that on purpose?
I started to, and then I didn't, and then I did.
That was really funny.
Yeah. But you know, they also draw Pac-Man with legs in a lot of different things now, too. So Like,
yeah, but they're not. Sonic has better legs than Pac-Man could ever dream of. Yeah,
definitely.
You see how fast this little blue guy goes?
Yeah, he's a speedy guy. Yeah, I don't know. Like, what do you do a Super Pac-Man? No, because like no one remembers Super Pac-Man, where it's like Pac-Man can get real big too. Like, no, it just doesn't. It's not.
Shut up.
You know,
it's Mario.
Yeah, like people know what Mario can do. He gets twice his size. When he eats a mushroom, he can throw fireballs. Like, those are useful features. What does Pac-Man do? He eats, and if he eats the right thing, he can eat ghosts. And that's about it. And so
sometimes he eats a bell.
Yeah, exactly. And what does he get for that? Nothing. Points. So
points.
Pac-Man as an eater, you could go like, oh, well, we have to dig underground and Pac-Man's going to eat all this dirt. Is that a scene? Like, he's going to be like a drill, you know, but then does he see, do you meet Taizo Hori of Dig Dug when you're down there? Is Mr. Driller down below? Are you doing?
Yeah, that's your video game cinematic universe, yeah. Your Namco cinematic universe.
If they turn the Namco Namco in-game universe into a cinematic universe, I'm all for it, because like Gradius, then it's like Xevious and all this other stuff. Like then we're all in Ridge Racer cars that have all of the names of all the other Namco games on them, and then Ace Combat is also real. If they just made the Strange real into a movie, then and that's also the Pac-Man. If the Pac-Man movie is the launching point for the Strange reel to become a cinematic universe unto itself, if this is the backdoor pilot for the Ace Combat cinematic universe, then this is great. But is this just going to be, someone in chat is saying this is just going to be Pixels 2. Like, yeah, Pixels already had its, like, they already sacrificed a lot of the big, dumb Pac-Man jokes there. So I don't,
yeah, fucking Qbert,
right? Yeah. And Qbert's a different company, so if this is purely a Namco thing, they can't even go to their Qbert fucking material.
Do you think Chris Pratt / Mario will fuck a Birdo in the same way that Josh Gad fucked Qbert?
I mean, I think it's gonna be Luigi doing the fucking. I think that's gonna be like,
yeah,
the...
but like accidentally he's like, woo!
Yeah,
it just falls in there.
Yeah. It's just whoops.
He's running away from a ghost, mm-hmm. and he's not looking in front of him.
And then his pants fall down, and then he stumbles, and he's hard because he's Luigi. He's always, that guy's ready to fuck all the time. Not a lot of people know that about Luigi, but it's true.
A lot of people know this about Luigi.
Yeah,
not since his year have we come this close to realizing his dark truth.
Yeah, and.
I gotta say, played some Miss Pac-Man at a bar in Portland a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Still got it.
It's a hell of a game.
Still got it.
It's better than regular Pac-Man. Just a lot more going on. Yeah.
The ghosts are more interesting.
Yeah. The mazes are more entertaining. It's just a better all around game, top to bottom.
I got the highest score at the bar. Wow. They were just so impressed that they were like, wow, you should have this free drink. And I was like, I don't really drink as much these days, but I guess I could have one. And so I had the one, and they were like, do you want more? And then I was like, yeah, baby, I want more.
Yeah. That's how Portland gets you. That's how people move to Portland.
I was like the king of the arcade in pretty much the whole city.
Yeah, that's how Portland ropes people in. I think they reset the machines to deliberately low scores and then go like, man, you're really good. You should move to Portland. We got a lot of Ms. Pac-Man machines.
Sure. We'll go to a cafe afterwards and have everyone get hash browns and Tecate at 8:30 p.m.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you do that? And then we're off to ground control because they got a Ms. Pac-Man machine over there, too.
We're doing the Ms. Pac-Man crawl of Portland.
The world famous.
Hitting every cafe, drinking a nice local Portland coffee roast, and then playing Ms. Pac-Man.
You know, that sounds really nice.
It does.
That actually sounds really nice. Less nice is the delay of Marvel Midnight Suns.
No.
This is the Firaxis strategy game set in the Marvel universe, and this was originally going to come out in October. That was the most recent release date. It's now been pushed to hitting sometime in this fiscal year, which means it'll be out before March. The statement they gave, the Video Games Chronicle has here, is We have made the decision to move back the launch timing of Marvel's Midnight Suns to ensure the teams at Firaxis Games and 2K deliver the best possible experience for our fans. This game seems like it could be a disaster. Well, I don't know. This seems like it's something where they're like, oh man, we have discovered that people don't like this game, and we've discovered that very late in development, and now what? I don't know. It doesn't sound like a great delay.
I mean, Marvel fatigue is definitely hitting across movies, across TV. I wouldn't be surprised if it's affecting the games, just less general interest in playing Marvel. Like, obviously, they're still the biggest thing on the planet.
Yeah,
like entertainment. And like fatigue is like, oh, only this many billion-dollar movies in this cycle as opposed to that many. But it's like, it's becoming a real thing. And like, yeah, man, like, who knows how much longer Marvel games will be a really like big. I mean, Guardians, I don't have any idea if that was like a commercial success, but it was at least a critical.
It was definitely something that they pinned as like, oh, people really liked it, but it didn't sell as well. But it's hard to know when it comes to like games that Square is putting out at that time, because they were ready to pin their failures on any Western development that they could.
Square Enix,
the very same
weird
of Marvel's Avengers. I guess not anymore. Yeah, so I'm with you in that. I wonder, do we get to a point where like the big budget Marvel video game ends up proving to be too risky, and they end up going back to like, oh, these licensed games are only going to show up on mobile now.
Netflix's Marvel Avengers match. Yeah. But I mean, like, they already have, like, you know, Puzzle Quest goes hard for them. Yeah,
totally. There's a bunch of super popular mobile games that have Marvel licenses. The other little bit here is that they said, hey, so this game's going to launch later this fiscal year on PC, current-gen Xbox, and PlayStation 5. The Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and Nintendo Switch versions will follow at a later date. So it sounds like even the like previous gen versions are also falling behind in a way that you wonder, like, oh, do some of those end up getting canceled? Because that we've seen some of that start to happen, where studios have been like, hey, by the way, we're cutting those old versions because it just doesn't, you know, like we can't get the game running as well as we want to, or you know, they've sold enough of the new consoles that we don't have to care about this generation straddling strategy anymore, or whatever it ends up being. Switch is maybe the outlier there, where they probably have to get it done because they want to come out on Switch, but no one's buying third-party Switch games of this size and scope anyway, so it's just kind of, I don't know, we'll see. Speaking of Nintendo, Video Games Chronicle has the details from a Nikkei article detailing some of Nintendo's current plans, basically saying that, you know, as part of their earnings stuff, Nintendo kind of said, hey, we are not going to announce new hardware this year, which I don't think anyone was necessarily expecting them to announce new hardware
this year. But I was having a conversation with a couple of friends of mine, just like it, and coming to the conclusion that that's really the only hardware we're excited about is like a new, like, PS5 has not gotten to the point that it is like worth the hassle of getting one, unless you're like, you know, there are some games that it would be, I want to play Demon's Souls. I don't have a PS5. I want to play Demon's Souls. I want to play God of War 2, but that's coming to PC eventually, and I might be able to wait on that. Like, Sony is, you know, being more active about saying, like, committing to coming to PC eventually for their first party stuff. So, like, what's left? And it's whatever Nintendo's doing next, and odds are they're doing something else with the Switch, right? Like, I mean,
yeah. They've gone on to say that they, and this is something I think they said last year, like late last year, they were like, hey, we're still really thinking about what we want to do for our next hardware in terms of form factor and what we're trying to achieve and all this other stuff. But I think that they definitely stick with the, it's a handheld that you can dock to a TV form factor, because I think that makes a ton of sense for them and their style of game. And I don't see any reason for them to move away from that. they've gone on to say that they believe the Switch is still kind of in the middle phase of its life cycle, and they're looking for like a sixth year of growth. And they released the OLED, and that kind of pumped some new sales in. And, you know, it's worth mentioning, these numbers again come out of Video Games Chronicle, but like the lifetime Switch sales, it's 111 million units, which is the best, which is better than any of Nintendo's consoles. It's not better than the DS or like the Game Boy, Game Boy Color. The DS is like 154 million, and that's like their best selling piece of hardware ever.
It printed money, Jeff.
Yeah, it literally did. And then the Game Boy was 118 million. And so, you know, if they can, by
is
covering
Game Boy of like Game Boy, Game Boy Pocket, Game Boy Color.
Yeah, that I believe that's up through Game SP. Boy Color. Yeah. So counting that as one contiguous generation up until GBA kind of cut it off. Which is, it's a weird way to look at it, but they sold a fucking whole lot of those things.
You ever hear of Pokemon?
No. What is that?
It's these little guys.
I like little guys.
You want to hear my theory?
Go for
it. Switch 2 or Switch 1.5 or whatever it is. We hear more once Breath of the Wild 2 is out. And then they can be like, and you can play Breath of the Wild 2 on it.
Yeah, it's definitely, that was where I was at with a lot of the Bayonetta stuff for a little bit, where it was like, well, wait a minute, are some of these games, because it felt like a lot of this stuff was getting held up for weird reasons, and you didn't really know why these delays kept happening. I think it turned out that was just like, it was the pandemic causing it. It wasn't really anything fancy, like, oh, we're waiting on new hardware, but man.
It hit hardware, it hit software, it hit everything. It hit everything that can be produced.
Exactly. And so that's been the interesting thing about following this for the last couple of years now, has been the ever-present, and I think this stuff has backed off because I think a lot of people learned their fucking lesson, you know, maybe myself included to a certain extent, but like all of the like Switch Pro, it's going to be a 4K Switch and there's going to be this, and you know, there was like full-on reputable non-gaming news outlets reporting this stuff, and you know, Bloomberg was out there with it, and so it wasn't just like, I'm the leak man on Twitter and Mr. Leaks is here to piss all over the video game landscape with the Switch Pro. You know, it was like stuff that you would, you know, seem more reputable, stuff that, you know, it seemed like, oh, well, was this stuff they were actually prototyping and then decided not to go with? Or, you know, it's the, there was just kind of too much smoke around it at a point for it to all just be bullshit. But
right
at the same time, you know, a lot of it felt very, very kind of all over the place in a way that was like, you know, no, that none of this is, They've definitely decided to not go in that direction anytime soon, both because of chip shortages and because they can't even make enough regular fucking Switches. You know, go and put more expensive parts in it and see how you go, how it goes. Probably not as well. And so it doesn't make any sense for them to have like this half step Switch at all anymore, I think. So I'd probably just expect them to have a full fledged follow up. And yeah, and maybe that's a situation where, because I think backwards compatibility has also become the expectation amongst consumers. So I do think that, like, even if Breath of the Wild 2 comes along well before they've started talking hardware, I think there's also a very real possibility that, like, not long after that, there's a, hey, by the way, if you, next year when our new thing comes out, it's going to run Breath of the Wild 2 at actually 60 frames a second instead of 38 or whatever. And so, you know, that could be their play, is to be like, hey, now these games run better, because they'll need to do something.
Check it out.
Go ahead.
So Breath of the Wild 2 is like, they haven't talked about it a lot, but they've talked about, there's a lot of like, or they've shown kind of like, there's like vertical movement and you're flying around a little bit more, right? Uh-huh. There's like updrafts and stuff. And every Zelda game has a peripheral that kind of like ties into the thing with the Switch. You got the Sheikah Stone, mm-hmm. right? You can look around.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's like a, it's you jump off your roof while you're like holding it,
and
it's a
this.
Controller that kind of like, it's like a reverse balance board that kind of like, and you've got buttons on the handles, and you're like,
yep.
It's got like a VR screen in front of you, and like, you know how close to the ground Link is because that's how close to the ground you are.
Of course, this is, it's building off of that Mario Kart real cart thing they did. We've been building towards this for years. You just need to keep your eyes open and pay attention to what's going on around you, and then you're going to put on the Ring Fit ring,
And
strap a parachute to it.
Finally, another use for my Ring Fit ring.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have two of those.
I have still not unboxed mine.
It gets a little, you lose a little bit of resistance. I
bet. Yeah. So I've got a pristine one sitting in my closet right here, ready to fucking rip, man.
Ready to run Breath of the Wild 2.
That's right.
Jump off your roof, Link.
That's right. Time. This is a 2-story house, so I think I can really speed run.
Hard mode.
Yeah. I'm really excited to get into it. In Ireland and Colombia, if you are an Xbox insider, you can test out the new Game Pass family plan. Or the kind of multi-user plan. This is a version of Xbox Game Pass that allows you to add, I guess it's up to 4. I don't know if that's up to 4 additional people for a total of 5 or if that's a total of 4. But it is basically a version of Xbox Game Pass that allows you to share it with a number of other accounts. Yeah, I don't know. Are you a Game Pass person?
I am a Game Pass Ultimate subscriber.
Mm-hmm.
I got the PC. I should probably just do PC, but I played a bunch of replayed Fallout New Vegas, which was nice. I downloaded the Yakuza games 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, like, Game Pass right now is almost mandatory with some of the people I play games with, because it's very much like, oh, there's a new 4-person game coming out. We can all just grab it on Game Pass. Like,
yeah.
Yes, it is the gaming subscription service to care about, in my opinion.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I've been poking at the PlayStation the plus tier stuff for a while, and it's like there's good options on there for in a similar sort of way when it comes to some of that older stuff, but it's just, I don't know, the way they've got it structured and all that sort of stuff, just it really kind of rubs me the wrong way. It's okay for what it is, but the lack of new games is kind of whatever.
The N64 one's got Pokemon Puzzle League.
It's got the hottest
for like $35 a year.
Yeah, but you know, if you're just getting the SNES tier, then you get the world's hottest new 2-player game, Super Punch Out.
Oh, is that? Oh yeah.
Did you see that shit yesterday?
I saw that. Like,
yeah,
nobody cared enough about Super Punch Out to find it.
Yeah,
until yesterday
they dug through the code. Someone dug through the code and found a way to play Super Punch Out. 2-player, player 2 like, controls.
Like they already knew you could do like Japanese name entry if you did something a certain way, but then there was something even deeper than that.
Yeah, they found a couple of codes, and it's nice that, you know, people have access to all these ROM dumps and they can just like sift through it and go like, wait a minute, there's something else here, and then try to figure out a way to activate it. And so, yes, finally, this was, you know, we can stop requesting that he gets put into Smash Brothers, though we should not stop, because now we can play as Gabby J. Gabby J is a playable man in a video game. Finally,
I would love to see the Gabby J movie and see like his one win, because he's always 1-99. Yep. That's always his record. I want to know about, like, sure, you know, you start with 70 of the other losses, but I want to know about that one win.
Where did that one fight come from? Was that the first time he ever said yay?
You know who it was? Mike Tyson, and that's why he stopped showing his face.
Whoa. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Gabby J, so my understanding, I have not done this yet, but my understanding is that all of the other characters in that game are so overpowered when they're controlled by a human that Little Mac doesn't stand a fucking chance. It's like the most unbalanced, fucked up thing in the world, and that's very exciting. So, yeah, I don't know. I want to mess with that. And since that's part of the Switch stuff, you can actually play all those games online, technically. I think even if they're not too, you know, if they're not formally 2-player games, you can still connect to a 2-player session. And so I think theoretically you can play Super Punch Out against
run a tournament for Super Punch Out too.
Exactly. And you know, we're banning Gabby J because he's just too strong. The Game Pass family plan seems like it makes sense. They are doing some conversion even for people that are joining it during this test time. So a full month of Game Pass Ultimate gets converted to 18 days of membership with this plan.
Oh, yeah. I hate this shit.
Yeah, it's
it's the most transparent. We ran the numbers and this is what we're willing to budge on shit instead of just like, fuck it, 1-to-1. We take a little bit of an L, but it's not confusing for anyone. And
yeah,
we make it back.
Well, then Game Pass does the other stuff where it's like you can upgrade for $1 or change this over for $1. And so I don't know. It's worked both ways, but it's never been as straightforward as you want it to be. But Video Games Chronicle did the math on this and said that if the calculations hold true, that 18-day conversion, that basically means that the family plan would be about $25 a month and Game Pass Ultimate is currently $15. So,
okay.
So getting, you know, 4 to 5 people, whatever the number is, onto one subscription for $25 instead of $15 seems like a pretty good deal if you're the sort of person that is already like sharing.
Yeah. It's probably most likely going to be like 2 to 3 people, right? And that still works out for them. Like maybe they take a hit at 4 and 5, but like organize, like I get, like right now it'd be hard for me to like find a couple of people that I know and are interested in games and don't care about that. But like if I had a brother or something, I'd be like, yeah, right. Hey, let's split this. And it's like still cheaper, but we both get it and they still are happy.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I never fill out a family plan. I had the Nintendo family plan and it was just me and my wife. And I was like, oh, I should ask anyone if they want to get in on this since I'm already paying for it. And I was like, oh, fuck all these people. I don't want them bugging me and being like, hey, you're going to renew it or whatever. Like, I don't want to deal with the hassle of like, I have an Apple family plan and it's just me and my wife, even though that can be like way more people too. But I think those people get access to all the photos of my kids. So maybe I wouldn't do that.
So they have paid more.
That's exactly, yeah, you gotta pay way more to get access to those. Go over to patreon.com/Jeff Gerstmann for more details on my Apple family plan. Call of Duty, there's a bunch of announcements following on a bunch of leaks that seemed very much like controlled leaks to me, but I don't know. Then they had their quarterly earnings report. There's a big mess. Not really that big of a mess. They're having a live event in the middle of September called Call of Duty Next. And that's going to be their franchise showcase event where they're going to show off the future of all of the Call of Duties, because it's not just one anymore. What? It's like 3 to 4.
Oh, I thought you meant all of them for the rest of time.
Yeah, this is it. All 4 of them. And then that's a wrap. No, this is. Let's see. Let's break it down. So Modern Warfare 2 is this year's like premium Call of Duty game.
Okay. Not to be confused with Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, though.
No.
The sequel to Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
No, this is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, the sequel to Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2019.
Right.
So at Call of Duty Next, which they've done events like this before where it's been like, here's our multiplayer reveal and we got a bunch of streamers in here and they're yelling at each other and shooting each other, doing stunt shots with sniper rifles from very far away, and you watch it and go like, I'm not really getting a good sense of what this game actually plays like because all these people are weird. And this will also have info on the new Call of Duty Warzone, which is going to get a full overhaul and basically it sounds like they will replace existing Warzone with new Warzone. There's also Call of Duty Mobile, but then there's also the new Call of Duty Warzone Mobile, which is currently known as Project Aurora. This has gotten overly. Back in my day, there was Call of Duty, and it came out, and you bought it, and that was it, motherfucker. Yes. And now we got fucking 9 Call of Duties, and I'm like, which fucking call am I supposed to answer? I don't know.
Call of Duty, more like I gotta call my secretary and have her figure out which game I'm playing on what day.
That's right. Tuesday is Modern Warfare Tuesday. That's it.
Monday is mobile day.
Monday, obviously. Mobile Mondays mobile around these Mondays. Parts.
I gotta say, quick shout out, the Apex mobile game, pretty fucking fun.
Yeah.
They did a pretty good job of making that game feel fun on phones, even if I'm shooting bots.
Have you been playing with a touchscreen or did you wire up a controller?
No, I've been playing touchscreen and I can play like one game before my hands start hurting, but.
Yeah, I tethered my PlayStation 5 controller to my phone and played a couple rounds of it. And I was like, yeah, it's Apex. That's neat. And then I forgot that it existed. But yeah, it seemed like it's totally awesome. Like you're still playing a fair amount of Apex just across the board, right?
I have been. I got back in the last couple seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what do you think of
it? Back today.
Oh shit. Oh man. Every time I talk to anyone about Apex, there's always like two or three things that made me think I should reinstall Apex. And then it just doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't happen for me. I wish it did.
You know, we got our spiritual successor, the Titanfall, coming, so you can probably wait it out.
Yeah, I'll hold tight for whatever.
Whatever that Apex single player
game is. The game set in the Apex universe, whatever that ends up being.
I mean, I really, my hopes are really that that is, like, genuinely kind of a spiritual successor to Titanfall. I don't think there's ever going to be a Titanfall 3, as we would like there to be.
Yeah, but I mean, even but if you,
Apex is big enough for them that maybe they could.
Exactly.
And it's close enough in DNA.
Yes, and my favorite parts of the Titanfall campaigns were rarely the parts where you were in a Titan. Well, campaign, I guess, has really only been the one true single-player campaign. But, like, you know, my favorite parts of that are when you're doing acrobatics and wall running and all the cool stuff. So when I would want...
Fighting through a fucking prefab house being built.
Exactly. Like,
and then there's a nice little cap at the end. It's like, okay, and then hop in the Titan and do a little Titan stuff.
Yeah. Yes. But if they make a game that is a fantastic kind of mobility-based first-person shooter, and it does not necessarily have to have Titans in it for it to work for me, but if it did, that'd be cool too. I'm willing to accept either. So yeah, that's all stuff they're going to talk about at Call of Duty next, the new season of Apex, all that other stuff. No, they announced the beta dates. The beta will start the day after this thing. It'll be on PlayStation first, and, you know, typical kind of rollout for them. They also showed the game.
Are they still getting? I've been out of the Call of Duty loop for a while. Are they still getting, like, big marquee celebrities to be the bad guy, or like in Call of Duty games?
I don't, like, the last one, Call of Duty Vanguard, was so. This is the first Call of Duty campaign that I didn't bother finishing in a really long time.
Really?
Like, I played a handful of levels it was just super fucking boring. And they expected you to care about these characters that they didn't establish well enough, and there was just a lot of it just absolutely fucking boring. And
bummer.
Yeah. And that's, we'll get into that, because it sounds like Vanguard really shit the bed in as so far as one of the biggest franchises in gaming can shit the bed. It's like you were talking about with, it's like you talked about earlier, like, it is still one of the biggest games in the world. Absolutely. But, you know, not
with like the rights.
With the rights. Yeah. Yeah. They showed the game to the Los Angeles Rams, as you do.
Cool.
And
did they like it?
It seems like they liked it. I don't know. A bunch of them tweeted about it, and they tweeted out screenshots that they then later deleted and retweeted and reposted with, like, generic logos instead of screenshots or pictures of screens or whatever. But that to me seems like a very constructed, all right, you're going to tweet these out, and then we're going to delete them, because it's very believable that football players wouldn't give a shit about the embargo or whatever. So, and then, you know, and basically this kind of confirmed a mode that had leaked out called DMZ, which Video Games Chronicle has described as Escape from Tarkov-esque.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. This just seems like something trying to drum up hype for the Call of Duty franchise, which has fallen on their version of hard times. They said about Vanguard didn't meet our expectations, we believe primarily due to our own execution. The game's World War II setting didn't resonate with some of our community, and we didn't deliver as much innovation in the premium game as we would have liked. Vanguard really fucked up a lot of things that they had going on, because the World War II setting, like, think about it in terms of, this is a game that also has to cram its way into Call of Duty Warzone. And so suddenly you've got, like, all right, now the next game is going to be set in World War II, but we still need to put these characters and skins and guns and all this stuff needs to go into our Battle Royale game that we've been selling near future guns in for years. So, and so, you know, it kind of, like, Warzone got mired down in a lot of weird shit along the way. And they had to have a thing where they met with some of their community people and basically, like, apologized and talked turkey to them about, like, hey, the game's been fucked. We're going to unfuck it. Don't worry. But right now, yeah, we kind of agree. And the World War II setting, I think, was done poorly. I think that it just, the stuff that they did was just just boring across the board. And I think the last couple of games they've put out, Black Ops before that, was also pretty rough in a handful of ways. And it's a shame, because that last Modern Warfare reboot, as much as it is fun to joke about its dumb name, actually got that series back on track after some years of kind of fucking around and really kind of screwing up. Like, that is an amazing overhaul. It did all the tech stuff they needed to do to kind of modernize it, and got them off to the races with a good battle royale game that was better than the Blackout one they did before. And so, like, they really got on a good footing and then spent 2 years fucking it all up. And now they're coming back with a sequel to that Modern Warfare game, and they're going to overhaul it all over again. And hopefully this will be the thing that gets them back on track. But they've player numbers are down across the board for them. It's like 28% year over year. And they're trying to, you know, they're blaming Vanguard on a lot of that. Revenue is also down quite a bit. But this is one of those things. It's like, anytime, like, this is earnings season, so there's been a ton of numbers out around engagement and all this other stuff. And everyone's year over year comparisons are shitty, because they're comparing to, like, height of the pandemic. Everyone is staying home playing video games and not going outside and all of that sort of stuff. So, like, if you think about this June compared to June 2021, it was a very different landscape. And so, like, going like, oh, there are fewer players, it's like, yeah, that's because they all had to go back to work. And also Vanguard was bad. Like, let's not let them off the hook completely. Like, you put out a bad product, but also everyone is experiencing a lot of weird numbers. That's going to be the thing that, you know, Microsoft's whole business seems to turn on this whole, like, monthly active users, engagement focus type stuff, because they're on PC now and they're on phones and all this other shit. So, like, engagement is their thing. So having the company they're about to buy's engagement numbers kind of tank like this, I'm sure, is a little like, that's not great. But I don't know. Call of Duty Mobile is holding up okay. The mobile end of Activision, generally speaking, seems to be holding up okay. But Blizzard is also down a little bit as well. But yeah, the I don't know. Call of Duty is fascinating. Like, I want to see more of what they're doing with this next game, because, like I said, that first Modern Warfare reboot, I think, is one of the best games they have ever made. One of the best Call of Duty games they have ever made, I guess I should say. And so if they get that back, that would be pretty cool, because that game has been kind of free-falling for me, at least for the past couple of years. AEW, you're a big wrestling fan.
Yeah, I'm more of a big Illegal Payouts fan, and so the wrestling just kind of came naturally.
Great, okay, yeah, then this is right up your alley. There's some details about the new All Elite Wrestling video game. This is the company that is not involved in the Illegal Payout, that we know of.
Right, that we know of.
And so these are details on their upcoming game, AEW Fight Forever. A lot of the stuff kind of was rumored a little bit, but there's been some additional leaks and some other bits and pieces around this stuff. Some box art showed up on a couple of retailers, and the box looks terrible. It looks, and apparently the box art maybe came from the THQ Nordic side with not as much input from the AEW side of things. Hopefully they redo that, because it just looks super generic. But honestly, who cares? The some screenshots and stuff leaked out, but also a trailer that sounds like it will not be coming out until the 12th, when THQ Nordic has a digital showcase planned. This leaked on the Xbox store, and it showed off, it was a little scenario of Britt Baker calling announcer Tony Schiavone into her hotel room and then showing him the video game. And then in the video game, it's her beating the shit out of Adam Cole, which is her real life boyfriend, which is funny.
They're poised to be in a good spot, because, like, the WWE people have grown tired of those games and those games being so bad for so long that there is definitely a market for people who want a good wrestling game.
Yeah, they definitely have a lane to do this right. But also, the game's being developed by Ukes. And Ukes was responsible for the WWE games for a very long time.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to, you know, the spin on this is that this is Ukes unleashed from the bullshit annual fucking treadmill that WWE and 2K and THQ put them on. And so they're going to, you know, this is going to be all different. And their approach is they're trying to make a game with a very easy pick up and play. they're citing things like those N64 games, which Yuke's did not make, but they have gone back and gotten the director of those games to kind of consult on some of these games as well, those Aki games that everyone loves from those days. And so they're trying to find ways to, you know, make it something that someone just might be able to pick up and enjoy. And so they showed a bunch of weird mini games, and just like a bunch of silly shit. The Britt Baker versus Adam Cole footage is also interesting because the WWE games have been very against the kind of intergender gameplay, like man v woman type stuff. And so to show that right here in their first trailer is like, oh, okay, you're gonna, like, they don't do that on TV. AEW has not done a lot of that on television, so it's kind of weird. Anyway, we'll see what that ends up meaning for the future. But the gameplay in it, I don't know. I think it looks okay. It's hard to know. It's a wrestling game, so it'll probably suck. But
yeah, I mean, you know, now that I know it's a Yuke's passion project, like the Dog Island.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think they've got a lot of, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of talented developers there who want to make a good game.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this will be it.
I hope so. I think it would be nice to have a good alternative wrestling video game out there. I think the stuff that 2K is doing, it sounds like that game, the last WWE game, sold quite well. But it's just boring as hell. And still, those games that they're making are still just as boring as they were when Yuke's was making them. So, if not more so, at least they're slightly less broken. But that also just makes them less interesting. So, we will see. I don't know. It was funny that they try to use the old THQ logo in the trailer, even though THQ Nordic is a very different company that just bought the name THQ. Like, they're trying to evoke a very specific era with a lot of this stuff. And that's kind of neat to see. There's no date on this. Like, there's... some of the wrestling sites are saying, you know, like, oh, there's been rumors that it might come out in September, but I feel like they just opened these pre-orders and they're just now showing this stuff off. If that game's truly coming out next month, that I feel like we would know that by now. I don't know.
It's a bad sign if it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that game's been in development for a while. Like, they've been talking about it for quite some time, even before they had signed a publishing deal. Like, they were out there working on it kind of on their own, which is crazy. Like, so one of the referees in AEW was also a producer at Fifth Cell and worked on the Scribblenauts games.
Okay.
So there's people working at that company already that have like game industry experience. It's like, it's a weird, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic there for sure, where you've got wrestlers kind of being shown as the people doing most of the talking about this game are the same people that are on television. And that's a really weird vibe that could lead to something really interesting and different, or it could be a total train wreck because you're like, you should have got way more professional actual video game people to work on this much earlier in the process. But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Kenny Omega goes to a lot of fighting game tournaments. He's very passionate about video games, so hopefully his input is good. I don't know. We'll see. And that's it for news. I ended up throwing this in at the bottom here. We didn't mention it when we were talking about the stuff at the top of the show around the Tekken 8 stuff, but there was this goofy leak from about a month ago showing a photo of what appears to be Namco's slate for the next fiscal year. And it's got Tekken...
I'm calling BS.
Yeah, I think it's absolute bullshit also because it has three separate Dragon Ball games on it, and they're not going to put out three Dragon Ball games in one fucking year.
No, I have two red flags. One is Dragon Ball FighterZ Super. That's not... I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with that game, but that's not it. I'll tell you that.
They did say that they were done with content updates to that game. Like, they're going to do the rollback stuff and all that. But in terms of like content for the game itself, they are finished with Dragon Ball FighterZ. So
at least Q2 2023, there won't be a Dragon Ball FighterZ Super. Unless it's like a best of whatever game of the year edition. But then Elden Ring Barbarians of the Badlands. There's no way that is the subtitle to whatever is next from Elden Ring.
Yeah, that's not your Elden Ring DLC name.
No, it's called like the
finger fuckers,
Lucifer's finger.
Yeah. Okay. Ouroboros of Lucifer.
Barbarians of the Badlands.
Barbarians of the Badlands is a, it's a, yeah, that's, now that you're saying
it's
that
like
out loud.
It's like what a middle schooler would write as the subtitle for their fantasy novel.
Yeah, that's, so yeah, of course. So I, yeah, this other stuff on here, Armored Core, which some screenshots of that leaked out a while ago. Dragon Ball Breakers, which they, that is coming.
That's real.
Yeah, that's real. Little Nightmares 3, which sure, I guess. I don't know if that's a real thing or not. Might as well be. Digimon Story 2 Cyber Sleuth, or Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth 2. I don't know what the logo doesn't make it clear. A One Punch Man game and Dragon Ball Xenoverse 3 and Code Vein 2. Like all this other stuff. It's a really good, it's like a pretty good fake. But I do assume it is fake. But yeah, I don't know. Them talking Tekken got me thinking about this thing. I was like, what was actually on that thing? And now looking at it here in front of me, One Punch Man Fighters Association for fiscal Q4. Yeah. Unlikely. Seems unlikely. That's going to do it for the news. We're going to take a quick break and then come back and take a handful of your emails. So stay tuned. I got to pick out some music. I don't have good. Oh no, there's a button here marked break music. I'm just going to push this right now. And we're back. Hello. It's time for emails. You're going to send those emails. I don't have a good email music. There's no, you can, you know, yeah. We'll put in some later. And by later, I mean a year from now. We'll go back and dub over this footage with just like some kind of good.
Yeah, pull a Stranger Things, change my birthday.
Yeah, we're going to change your birthday and then put some Kate Bush on this motherfucker and really get going. podcast@guard.bike is the email address. Send your emails in. I will look them over and perhaps we will take them. Jeff from Connecticut writes in and says, what other Minecraft spinoffs would you want to see? A Minecraft Warriors, like a Musou game, a 3D platformer, something like Factorio. Like, so did you see this? Was it Minecraft Legends or whatever? That was like the kind of real-time strategist. No. They announced a new Minecraft spinoff coming out. They obviously did the Diablo-esque game a while back, Minecraft Dungeons. What do you think would be another big Minecraft spinoff?
Minecraft. So the thing about Minecraft is it doesn't have a lot of like signature characters, right? You got Steve.
Yeah. Yes, Steve.
You got the Creeper.
Mm-hmm.
And usually for like spinoffs, you're like, oh, look, it's the cast of your favorite game doing something else. So because of the lack of that, I think you want to go for like a Minecraft 4X where you're like controlling a Minecraft server.
Okay.
Right? And you're like trying to get your little guys to go find the diamonds and like do stuff. But then you pull back and there's other servers, other realms. It's kind of like, you know, a massive...
And so are you trying to get like your server to be the most prosperous and attract the most players and all that sort of stuff?
Yes, you want to, the goal of the game is to get your server featured on Reddit, which is what everyone's goal in life is.
Yes, definitely. I'm trying to get this podcast featured on. Yep, go.
I peaked post. When I was in college and a gallery of me being tall was on the Reddit.
Yeah.
On the Reddit.
And now look at you.
And now look at me. I'm still tall. Yeah, I think it could be fun to like, what's a Minecraft sim? Like, what is the, like, everyone knows how Minecraft works. Everyone right. understands, like, even if you haven't played in forever, you could drop into a game of Minecraft and like build yourself a little house because you're like, I know how this works. And beyond that, there's like diamonds and other
stuff. Of course,
stuff
but there's like, you know, the idea of just like, oh, if I put a door on this thing, I can put a bed in. Okay, yeah, I think right. Yeah.
And so just being like, you're going to have a little guy who's going to do that for you if you set him up right. Like, what do you do now if you can have a lot of those little guys all pumping stuff out? Mm-hmm. How could you control that? I think that could be cool.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool to just do like the, like if they just remade Populous or something like that in the Minecraft engine where you're just like, I can raise and lower the terrain and make it more conducive to people building houses here, but I don't
Black
necessarily.
And white three.
Yeah, exactly. Just Minecraft God game. I think would be pretty good. Tom writes in and says, I have recently purchased some new foam inserts for my Blockbuster Virtual Boy carrying case. As the old ones were starting to degrade and get all crumbly, These cost me $100 from some guy who makes custom replacements, and I am delighted with my purchase. What are some of the more bizarre video game related items or services that you have purchased as a result of giving $100 to some guy? It doesn't have to be $100, but that generally seems like a good amount to give some guy. Thanks, Tom. I've been giving $100 to guys lately for stuff. I bought an ODE for the 3DO, which is it's an optical drive replacement. So this will be
an
external thing that will let me load 3DO games off of an SD card or whatever it is, fucking SSD, whatever. I don't know what you hook up to it. Something. And I have not gotten that yet. I think they'll start to ship next month, but that's one of my more recent ones. I bought the Sinden light gun, and then that is a dumb $100. I think that was also more than $100, but the Sinden light gun I got, and then have promptly not been able to have, I have not had time to fiddle with it to get it working properly. So instead I installed it halfway and went like, this doesn't fucking work at all. And I don't have time to troubleshoot it. And so I'm going to disconnect it all and put it back in this box and forget it ever happened. And maybe someday I will have time to get back to the Sinden light gun. But that's another pretty big one lately, like a retro tink for scaling stuff. I've been buying some odd game hardware around the fringes here for the past couple of years and then not using it all that much. You do anything? Hey, you into anything weird?
Not really.
Yeah.
Like, I
keep it that way.
I'm a digital future fucker, so I don't have a lot of like hardware. I mean, I gave a guy a couple of $100 for one of these. Definitely one of the weirder things I've bought.
Oh, hey, recently. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. That's,
oh, yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I got the hitbox.
You got the hitbox. What do you... So that thumb button is up, right? And then
Yes. On
the left side, it's left, down, right? Is that what it is?
So, yeah, it's like WAS, or it's like ASD spacebar. Imagine that's your movement. And then a traditional 6 or 8 button layout for your attacks and stuff. I had to wire it up all on my own. They didn't include any instructions, so I had to go to their like Discord and everything. But I like it a lot. It took me like a week to get used to it, and jumping was definitely the weirdest thing to wrap my head around. But like, now that I'm on that thing, I don't miss my inputs. I miss like 1 out of 10 inputs I was missing before. That was just an issue of being bad and not practicing.
Yeah. Now it's all you, and you have no hardware left to blame. That's the thing that always with the whole hitbox thing, the using buttons instead of a joystick. It's just something like about a Dragon Punch motion that seems really awkward to me. But like, I guess like, so I used to play this. This is dumb.
It's
but
3 button presses.
It is. And now that I'm thinking about it, it's actually probably not so bad.
It's
what
tap,
about like
it's a tap and a plink?
Bop, bop, bop. Okay. What about like doing spinning pile driver motions or like SNK pretzels or anything like that? That
has been trickier. Anything that requires obviously analog movement is trickier. You can do an SPD without that. Like I play Potemkin when I play Strive. And I've gotten good enough. I'm back to kind of where I was. I think pad is actually still your best bet for a grappler. Mm-hmm. Just cranking out quick little circles on the thumb stick.
I love to crank it out.
But since I like playing more characters than just kind of grapplers these days, I want to give it a shot. And it's the nicest thing for is air dashes, because it's just button instead of having to hit up and then like, or like up forward is really how you do like an optimal instant air dash,
right?
And I was struggling with it. I will say my hands obviously aren't what they used to be. It's a little trickier doing stuff to the left, like Dragon Ball motions to the left, working with the pinky and ring finger rather than the index and middle.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or I guess it's middle and ring.
ring fingers, you know, a ring finger can be a weak finger. You don't use it a lot for a lot of stuff.
Probably the least used finger.
You just got to do this for 3 hours a day.
This is obviously my most used.
Oh, shit.
Take that, Twitch.
Damn.
You can't censor me.
We're banned. The channel's banned for hot fingers. It just says here, banned, colon, hot fingers.
Hot fingers.
Shit, man.
Bezos is jealous of my hot fingers.
Yeah, well, we all are. I was looking at those. Like, there was an ad, I think, during the Street Fighter Top 8 for one of those things. Or one of the players was using, like, a really small one, and I was looking it. And just
the
like,
micro?
Yeah, the micro. And I was like, man, that thing looks fucking badass. And then I went and looked.
Daigo uses a hitbox now.
Yeah, man.
He's like a sponsor. You know, he's sponsored by them.
Sure, yeah. But I mean, he's still able to excel at them. That's cool. I looked at it for a while, and I was like, I don't need this. I can't really justify this. The only fighting game I ever used to play on keyboard was a shitty fan game, a ripoff of Street Fighter II called SF2 IBM. And someone had made a really funky, ridiculous Street Fighter II ripoff. Like, it's all sprite rips and all this other stuff. And they made it into a playable-ish video game. And I got pretty good at doing dragon punch motions. And obviously, the inputs on that were all fucked up. So it wasn't, like, very precise. And then there were mods of that. There were hacked up versions of that that put like katana in it and all this other shit. And so it was just
That's awesome. How I know of it is because there were like Mortal Kombat characters.
Yeah,
in it.
It's awesome. It's so fucking cool. It's so stupid.
did you see? Speaking of cool and weird mod shit, have you seen TMNT X Justice League Turbo?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a pretty well made thing.
I watched the Evo
the side tournament. Yeah, was that part of the Vortex Guard and stuff? That stuff's cool. I downloaded a big like Mugen pack called Mortal Kombat New Era, but I'm afraid to run it because it seems like it would just be full of viruses. But I grabbed that and want to check that out too. And yeah, I don't know. There's a bunch of weird shit out there. So I was all set to go. Like, that was going to be my $100 thing, or it was actually more like $200. But I was looking at those, was it like the Junk Food Customs or whatever they were called?
I used the Snack Box.
Snack Box, okay. For one of their mini ones. And they were like, order now and get it maybe by the end of October. And I was like,
They are super backlogged.
Yeah.
I ordered mine in like April and got it in like June.
Yeah.
I guess that's not that bad. July maybe.
But yeah, and I guess like October is not that far off now that I'm like looking at a calendar going, all right, it's August. Maybe that's not so bad, but I don't know. It just seems like something I'm going to use twice and go like, this is fucked up, and then never touch again.
Yeah.
So I'm probably the smart thing would be to not buy it because I have literally, you can't see it in this shot. You can see it in this shot.
Oh yeah.
But I've got the joystick that I bought when Street Fighter V came out. And I used it for probably about the first 2 months of playing Street Fighter V because I was like, I'm going to try and get serious. I'm going to try and take this seriously, try and pick a main, this Ryu guy. I've heard so much about him, find out what he's about, and then tried to take the game more seriously and tried to actually improve. And then after a couple of months of that, I was like, I'm not having a good time doing this. I'm going to stop. And then I barely have used that fight stick ever since. So I should probably just hook that up and use it if I want to do anything. But I've got Fightcade installed, and I've been messing around more with a lot of the hot games in there, like Fighting Masters for the Genesis, like some real classics.
Like Rabbit.
Rabbit, yep. We played some Rabbit.
Nice.
Rabbit is fucked up.
Rabbit is fucked up.
Rabbit is really fucked up. But also, for a lot of those games, I'm fine being a pad player for a lot of games. Like, if I'm not taking a game super seriously, I can get most of the things done that I need to do on a pad.
The thing is, like, these days there you see parity in pad players and stick players and hitbox players. It's all kind of like people have shed the notion that you need a fight stick to be competitive.
Definitely. So I now that I'm sitting here saying this, I think I should go buy one of those fucking hitboxes. I don't know why.
It was like I was riding the high of going over to a friend's place to play some Guilty Gear, and one of our friends busted one out. He had the micro. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, this is like, I have to try this for the novelty of it. And then, like, I was home that night ordering my I went the opposite. I went the one with the extra half inch. It's called a half inch comfort gap.
Okay.
And I was like, yes.
Yes.
I want a half of an inch of a comfort.
I would love a half inch of comfort for sure. Definitely. That sounds very glorious. Yeah, I don't know. That I saw one that seemed extra ridiculous, and I realized it seemed like it was made for Smash, so it had a bunch of additional buttons on it and stuff that I was like, I don't want anything to do with this. This is just chaos. Speaking of sticks, Eric from Norway writes in and says, I got a Hori Fighting Stick Mini a few years back. As a guy who only plays fighting games casually, it's served me well so far. But one thing I always struggle with is what sort of button layout to use when setting up a four-button fighter. Should I go with the humble square shape with punches on top and kicks on the bottom, or put them all on the same horizontal line, or maybe be one of those freaks that puts the buttons in a weird L shape? If a game has an action that's tied to multiple simultaneous button presses, do you like to bind that action to a separate single button for easier execution? I like the when I'm playing a Neo Geo game, if I have a stick that has that kind of curve to the four buttons, I love to have that as accurate as possible, but generally I'm going punches on top, kicks on the bottom. That just makes the most sense.
I think the breakdown for me is it like that? Is it a punch, punch, kick, kick? Or is it more of like an ABCD game?
Right.
Like the Marvel games or DNF is like that, where you're like, a lot of your buttons are A, B, and C, like light, medium, heavy, and then mm-hmm. D is like some sort of special button, a launcher or something.
Your dust button.
And I'll do those three. Well, Strive is extra fucked up because you have really five mm-hmm. buttons. You have punch, kick, light slash, heavy slash, and then dust.
Yeah.
So a lot of people do a weird sort of like, you know, kind of like roof looking configuration.
Right.
Which is what I do. I mostly stick to, like three on top, because I like being able to just have my three fingers on the top three and then my thumb on a fourth. And I'll usually like bind the grab, and that's about it. Like supers, a lot of time you would maybe need two buttons to bind that too, but I find it easy enough to just hit two at the same time. But I want grab on one button for that like quick like tech.
Yeah, that makes sense. Generally, I kind of just try to go with whatever the defaults are. But now that we're emulating and you know, especially some of these older games that don't really have home versions, and so the layouts in arcades would get extra weird, and you got things that were like technically Mortal Kombat style button shapes in arcades that you can't really match at home. And I don't know, generally, I'm playing on a pad anyway, so I'll put like that fifth button on one of the bumpers, like whether it's a dust button or, you know, block for Mortal Kombat or whatever. And use the four face buttons as attacks, but yeah, the games that get weird with that stuff, it's hard to know. I think the other thing is like it's hard to know sometimes what the optimal layout's going to be until you really get in there and start playing a character and picking a character and go like, oh, actually, I need this, I need this, and making those changes. I was playing some Grand Blue Fantasy Versus last night on the Steam Deck, and had a moment where I was like, I forget what all of these buttons, I forget every single thing about this game. Is it back to block? Wait, there's a block button. Is it only a block button? No, it's both. Okay, wait, no, it's this. And yeah, this, it's easiest for me when I can see, like if they would just draw a layout of what they think it should look like in arcades, and they're like, hey, by the way, we bound both of these buttons over here for grab on this here for ease of use. And over here on L2, we put, you know, AB or ABC or whatever. Like, I think that's cool, but it's a lot easier for me when I can visualize it as what the inputs are or what they would be in an arcade setting, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I can choose to like, oh, if I want those extra binds or whatever, I can go that route. But yeah, sometimes that stuff can be a little finicky.
Honestly, it's more than most people need until you get to a point where you're like, okay, I'm comfortable enough in this game, and there's like two things I want to change. Like,
yeah.
And sometimes it's even character specific. Like when I play certain characters in Strive, I like having my slash more available, and some characters like having my punch more available. Like, you know, you can get as granular as you really want to, which is cool.
Yeah, definitely. Multiverses, I was interesting because like you can, I kept not ever using any of my neutral attacks because I'm always moving. And so the stick is always pointed in a direction, and that becomes a different move than if you're just holding neutral. And so they allow you, or I think by default, they even bind the bumpers to your neutrals. And I thought that that was interesting. But like the mental adjustment to using those bumpers as relatively primary attack, it's really hard for me to make that shift. And so
definitely you have to like think of it like, this is my neutral air attack button. Like, this is the one that, like, I try and not think of it as like, this is another attack button. It's like, this is this one specific attack button,
right,
that I have access to, because everything else I'm using the stick for.
Yeah, it's really just for Shaggy doing the fucking weird air kicks that I want that on a button to do it more reliably. But that's about it. Nathaniel writes in and says, have you ever gone through a phase where you just felt like you were completely over video games? I've been playing them since I was a literal toddler, but lately I just seem to have lost interest in all video games, old and new.
For sure. I go through that all the time. I went through that in many periods when I was covering video games professionally.
Sure.
And if I wasn't being paid to do so, I would probably be playing a fraction of what I was at the time. And I think it's hitting people harder these days because every game is a job.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we didn't talk about it, but you and I have both attempted to get back into Destiny 2, relatively recently. And the number,
if I did not have somebody literally holding my hand, telling me exactly what to do when I played Destiny 2, which I do, I would not be able to play that game because I would have to spend so much time just learning how to play Destiny again, because I hadn't played since 2017, that it wouldn't have been worth my time. Like, I don't have as much time as I used to. I have a full-time job. Like, you know, it's
yeah.
And I like playing other games with friends and stuff, but you know, every game is like, okay, the new season's rolling out, the rank reset's happening, the new content is here, like. And if you're not playing in that first new wave, you're falling behind and your friends are playing through it. And so you have that FOMO, and it's just,
yeah,
it's so much.
For me, Destiny 2 has just become a very casual check-in experience where, like, I will, whenever they roll out new content, I'll go like, oh, right, Destiny. And I'll get back into it and play like the story setup for the new season or whatever it is. And then once I'm done with their initial kind of onboarding for whatever the new thing is, and it dumps you back out onto the map, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, now I've got like 20 things I could be doing according to this quest log, because I've got things from the past like 9 content drops that I haven't done, and I'm not really sure which one matters. I'm not near the power cap anyway, so anything I do is going to make my character stronger. But at the same time, the game scales, so who cares if I'm actually stronger? Because I'm never going to get to that end game stuff. I'm never going to raid again. I've come to accept that that's just almost definitely never going to happen. So for me, it's just become like a very easy, like, I'm going to dip in and I'm going to see the cool art they made. And you're like, man, that pyramid looks dope. Yo, this ice level looks cool as hell. Look at all these cool doors.
This is a cool looking glaive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's like, I leveled up the glaive to level 3. Some people have glaives way high. Like, you're running around and you're seeing people with like numbers next to their name, like 183. And I'm like, 2. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. It's fine. Yeah, the whole season pass stuff. Like, I used to buy a lot more season passes than I do now, because I finally realized, like, I'm never going to make the progress in those season passes that is going to matter. You know, I'm never going to play any of those games enough to actually get to that level. And if I ever got to a point where it's like, oh, if I owned the season pass, then, or if I owned the battle pass, then I could get this cool skin, then I would just buy it on the spot there and go like, okay, well, I will get the thing I wanted because I happened to play enough this season to get it. And so it's like, you know, buying it at the start of the season seems like foolish. And yeah, Rumbleverse is coming out in a couple of days, and then in a week it's going to start its season 1, and that's a game with a ton of cosmetics and stuff, and I'm very interested in seeing what the fashion in that game ends up looking like, because I think there's a lot of goofy-ass wrestling shit they could do and all that, but at the same time, I'm like, man, I don't have another battle pass. I don't know. But in terms of, like, with me, you know, have I ever completely gotten over video games? No, I think if I did, then I probably wouldn't be doing this now. I think at this point, like, I've definitely been, there are highs and lows to doing this as a job that I definitely adjusted to pretty early on. And that's the interesting, we'll see. We're kind of in uncharted territory, because the thing that you used to be able to do is, if you reached a point where you were like, man, I am really burned out with what's going on right now, you had other people around you that could pick up the slack, and vice versa. So like if someone else on, this is something that, you know, back in the day, when I was working with Joe Fielder, you know, it was like when I would hit a fucking wall, when I just had reviewed too many games in a month and I was just like fried, I could take it a little bit easier and he could take on a little bit more, and vice versa. And we could kind of, you know, move that back and forth. But I think now, like for me, it's really just like, I don't feel any kind of compulsion to cover every single game that comes out. And it's impossible. I think even with a team in place, it is impossible to do that. But for me as an individual, it's extra impossible. So it's stuff like, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles or whatever just came out, and it's fine. I have not played it. I don't intend to, and I don't have to. It's okay. If you want to know more about that game, there are other places to go, and that's, I have to be okay with that, for my own sanity and for everyone else's too. So, you know, being able to pick and choose and all that other stuff has been really handy for that.
I think that's a good point. And I think for me, there's always been, I've definitely had major burnout, but there's almost always been one game that I will play. Like, I'll always go back to whatever the current game in rotate, like for a lot of my life, it was Dota. There's always like something that, like, even if I'm burnt out, I can play a little Street Fighter. I can play a little Dota. I can play a little Apex, whatever. I can like kind of turn off my brain. Like, yes, they have those season passes and stuff, but like, I'm there for the game. And like, if I get some cool skins, that's fine too.
Yeah.
I took some like deep personal time when I left Giant Bomb and didn't play anything for the better part of a year. At all. I played. And then when I came back, I was like, let me revisit some stuff. And I played through like Breath of the Wild for the first time through completion and some other stuff. And like, it gave me this kind of like, oh yeah, okay, cool. I just needed some time away from it. And it's totally fine to like take time away from games. If you are burned out by them, there will be some, if you like games, like, you know, we're reaching a point with video games where obviously people have been playing video games forever, but now we're reaching a point where like adults have been playing video games since they were kids. And it's because they like video games, and you might like be bummed out by the state of games. You might not have stuff that doesn't like hit for you, but there's always going to be games coming out. And odds are, if you like video games, that's going to stick with you for as long as you can play them. And there will be something, Elden Ring, whatever it is, that comes out and you're like, oh my god, I forgot like how much fun it can be to just like be in this world and do this thing and just kind of get like fall in love with the thing all over again.
Yeah, totally. I agree. And I think there's, you know, for me, I've got, you know, I really just like trying new shit out, but I don't always like finishing things, you know? And so it's kind of one of the fun things about this line of work over the years is it's very easy to try out a ton of different things and then not necessarily have to be on the hook to finish those games. And so like that's been a thing that always keeps me going. Cause I always kind of like seeing like what the fuck's next, what's around the corner, what's coming out. And even if it's a game that I go like, you know, like Multiverses was a great example of this, because it was like, I was very excited to play Multiverses before it came out. I was like, oh man, I can't wait for that to come out. I'm going to try it out. But also that was undercut with like, I'm pretty sure this game's going to be total bullshit, or at the very least, I'm going to fucking hate it, but I really want to try it. And to be proven, it's one of my favorite things is to be completely wrong about a game and to be completely surprised by a game. It doesn't happen all that often. But like that feeling of like, wow, this thing is exactly what I thought it was going to be, but also I am super enjoying it in a way that I did not expect. And that cuts both ways. Like I thought Stray was going to be really cool, and then I played through all of Stray and did not like Stray, but you know, shit happens. But also, you know, I've got my games that are kind of like my constant games that I can always go back to. Like over the weekend over on the Discord server, we had a Trackmania server running on Saturday night. And so got back into some Trackmania, and The Steam Deck has been really great for that, because it's like, oh man, I figured out a way to get the fucking Ubisoft client to run on the Steam Deck, and now I can install Trackmania and play it there too. That's fucking weird. And so it's been fun for all those reasons too. And yeah, so I just think there's so many different types of games out there that it's, even if you get burned out on a specific type of grind or a specific type of game, there's so much other stuff out there, new and old, that you could theoretically just find a different thing to play for a while. If you're just like, hey, I'm really not into this battle pass grind.
Go rediscover some, you know, Herald, like nobody has played everything. Go find some gap in your gaming backlog and give it an honest shot. Maybe you'll be like pleasantly surprised. Like, yeah. Jeff was talking about.
Yeah. Like, you know? I got into Dragon's Dogma recently, and I think I'm going to play through all of that on stream at some point. It'll take a while, but yeah, I got into fucking Dragon's Dogma, a game that like I bounced off of so fucking hard when it came out. But yeah. You know, a decade of games that have learned from it or built around it, or, you know, done things in a different way. It now feels very refreshing in a way that maybe it didn't then. Let's see. Maybe we take like a couple. This is actually kind of maybe dovetails into this. Kevin writes in and says, can you describe how getting older has changed how you interact with video games? For me, video games have been my most consistent hobby over the last 25 years. I'm of an age where I consider Privateer and Baldur's Gate 2 to be the best video games ever, and I would happily sink 100 to 1,000 hours into a game. However, in my late 30s, I have increasingly found myself buying a game, playing it once or twice, and then bouncing off, like Doom Eternal. I was actually at the point where I thought maybe I was done with the hobby. In my case, Game Pass has reinvigorated my enthusiasm for video games. Probably because I can play for an hour and move on guilt-free if it doesn't grab me. I realize I'm likely never going to put 100 hours into a game again. P.S. Can you explain why I really liked Doom 2016 but hated Doom Eternal? I think this is exactly what we were talking about. Like, yeah.
It was less good.
Well, yeah, that's the actual answer to that question is that Doom Eternal was not as good or as fresh as Doom 2016.
They got mad that everyone liked using the shotgun too much, that they said, we're going to make it so you have to use exactly what we want you to use in these levels. And then it was a bummer.
Yeah. And then Doom Eternal, I think the increased reliance on the platforming flip around stuff was not fun.
And I think this relates to the original question, because I think part of getting older and playing games is you have less time for bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, part of getting older is you get a little more cemented in your ways and you get a little more stubborn, and you can work against that and you can keep an open mind and stuff. But like, I know if I pick up a game and I'm playing it and I don't like it, like I played about 20 hours of Xenoblade 3. Mm-hmm. I was bedridden and I was like, this sounds like a good kind of like game I can zone out and play. And I probably don't have all the systems, but I have a lot of the systems. I've gotten to the part where a lot of people say it gets good, and I just don't like it. And it's fine, and I'm going to put it down, and I'm going to walk away from it, because I'm 32 years old now, and I know my time is worth me walking away from something and not being like, oh, maybe 50 hours in, it'll be fun. It's like, no, 30 hours is so much time to do other things.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, as a kid, I spent so much time playing the shittiest games because I ended up with them one way or the other. You know, it's like whether I traded my good games for shitty games or just made a bad choice buying a game. Like through the 16-bit era, I played
home, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, yeah. Infinite amount of time, but not an infinite amount of money. And so you end up with a Japanese copy of Fighting Masters that has the right side of the cart cut off so it fits in an American Genesis. And you're like, well, I guess I'm going to play this for 50 or 60 hours because I just got it and someone has to. And, you know,
I guess I play Caesar's Palace for the Super Nintendo and just do a little blackjack and make my guy walk around like a robot.
Yeah, exactly. But like, that's not the case anymore. And I think, you know, some people, and there are a lot of different ways to play games for little or no money, whether that's Game Pass. So many games are free to play. Like, you have so many different choices for what you could be doing with your time at any given time. That if you're playing a game and going like, I'm fucking hating this, bounce. Fuck it. Just go do something else.
Fuck it.
It's not worth it to like grind your way through a game and go like, maybe it gets good here and all this other stuff. In this day and age, there's so many other things competing for a person's time. Like, why would you know, like other than the reasons of like, hey, you know, financial reasons, and those are real. I don't want to discount that, but you know, move on. There are so many other things you could be doing. Again, with free to play games that you say, like, I'm never going to put a dime into this game, but I'm going to play the shit out of it for 50, 60 hours, and then whatever, you know, I'll move on and go do something else. You know, there's just a ton of different things you could be doing. And then that's why I didn't finish Doom Eternal. I felt bad because there was a part of me that, like, still pulls. It's the job part of it is very much like, oh man, I'm really spending a lot of time talking about how much I don't like Doom Eternal. I feel like I should really finish the game so that I can better articulate that or speak from some additional perceived authority because I did finish the game. But, like, fuck it, man. I went back to it and started over after I got a new graphics card. I was like, I bet that game will run fucking awesome. I'm going to play Doom Eternal and maybe I'll like it this time. And I started all over again. I was like, man, fuck this. I just don't. It's a shame because I think the people that are making it are smart. And when I played it before it came out, it was like on paper or like the demo and all this other stuff. I'm like, oh, these are awesome ideas. I think it's really neat the way they've expanded on the systems in the first game. And just like in that context of that demo, I was like, this game is poised to be fucking awesome. And then when it came out and those concepts were stretched out into a full game, I was like, you know what? This like loop of chainsaw to flamethrower to this, to that, to that, you know, like that. That was not fun.
Well, it's well made. Like it technically works.
Yeah.
The flow works when you're flowing, but I didn't like the flow.
Yeah, exactly. Like whether I was doing well at it or bad at it, it didn't, the highs were not high enough. And so like at this point, I would probably rather go back and play the Doom 2016 all over again, to get back into that. So
I should play that again.
Yeah, that's that. Now that we're talking about it, what if I went back and played that Doom instead? That would be kind of awesome.
I've been trying to find just like a casual shooter to play a little bit here and there, like something open worldy. Mm. I've been playing a bit of Watch Dogs 2, and I gotta say, like, it's not a bad game.
Yeah, Watch Dogs 2.
It's a very competent game, and it's cool. Like, it is far and away the best realized San Francisco I've ever seen in a video game, which is neat.
Yeah. The story I thought was pretty good and fun in spots. Like there are definitely some characters that were really shitty, but like, I think they pulled that off for as shitty as the initial reveal of that game was when they first started showing it. I think that game came together pretty well. That last Watch Dogs, what they call, was that just
seemingly doesn't exist.
Yeah. The London one.
Like, nobody I know has hot takes about Watch Dogs 3.
Yeah. Pretty much.
That got done in by Brexit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they got out Brexited by Brexit, or I don't know.
Old Boris.
Yeah,
threw them a wrench.
Exactly. Let's see here if I can find one more email. Ben in Boston writes in, old Boston Ben.
Boy.
Yep, the traditional Boston accent. Says, we're about halfway through what a lot of people feel is a fairly light year for big games. What have been the biggest or best surprises of the year so far? I know what my answer to this is, but Ben, what do you think?
It's a cheat. I mean, it's Elden Ring. Like, there are two that stand out for me, and it's Elden Ring and Neon White. Neon White, I think, was a game I was already excited about, and the expectations were met and surpassed a bit. But Elden Ring is a game where, like, the only other Souls game I ever beat was 2, and, like, I bounced off of them in various ways, but I was just, like, compelled to play through that game and do engage with, like, all the systems that I normally would have put off. Just like I didn't like go deep on the lore or anything, but I played so much of it and just like was so swept up in it. And part of it was the zeitgeist, but like I was shocked that I was caught up in that zeitgeist.
Yeah, I started to get caught up in it, and then something else came out and I can't remember what it is now, but another game came out that pulled me off of Elden Ring and I never went back. And so
when Badlands of the Barbarians
Bad Barbarians Baddest Badlands comes out, God, that just sounds like Borderlands DLC now. when that comes out, you know, maybe that'll be the right time to get back into Elden Ring. But
so what's yours?
It's Tunic.
Ooh.
Which is awesome and was an amazing surprise for a game that, like, every time we saw it, I mean, that game was in development for a very long time, and you got a sense for just like
that at like E3 2018,
right? Yeah, and you're always like, oh, well, is this like a Zelda with a bit of a Souls twist? And you're like, oh, that could be cool. But like the actual nature of what that game actually is, when you really dig into it, is I think it's incredible. I think that is my, and actually now that I'm thinking about it, I think Tunic might have been the thing that came out that made me stop playing Elden Ring.
I need to go back, because that was the problem. Like, I played it for 30 minutes and I was like, I cannot balance this and Elden Ring in my brain.
Yeah,
like,
definitely. Yes, but yeah, Tunic is incredible. I think Vampire Survivors is probably my other one. I know that was technically out late last year, but like, the way that game has grown and been patched and the different things that have been added onto it. I think for a $3 game to kind of overtake the industry and a lot of weird, like there was so much conversation about that game and all that stuff. I think Vampire Survivors is a really awesome story too. It's just an amazingly fun game.
Play a shitty mobile ripoff of it called Gothic Survival. so I've not played much of the proper game, but it's mostly of an issue of like I can't imagine myself sitting at the PC and playing that. It seems like a game that I will like fall into and never fall out of.
Yeah, runs great on a Steam Deck.
Ooh, oh fuck, that's gonna be it.
Yeah,
that's the game I'm gonna play on my Steam Deck a lot.
I feel like that has been the story of like people getting a Steam Deck and then playing $3 ass Vampire Survivors on it for like another 100 hours. It's very funny to be like, oh yes, I spent $680 on this high-end version of the Steam Deck. What are you playing on? Vampire Survivors. Like, yeah, okay, no, yeah, cool, that's fine. It's like funny until you realize like, no wait, that game's fucking awesome. It's so well made, and the additions to it have been really surprising and exciting to see and stuff, and so that's probably my 1-2 punch so far for the year. I'd have to go and look at what else I've.
Multiverses is probably up there.
Yeah, that's
but like that was, you know, that's so weird. Oh, you know, I will shout out, I'm a big fan of Not Words, Zach Gage's new game. Mm-hmm. It is not surprising to me that Zach Gage made another good mobile game.
Yep.
But as somebody who didn't get caught up with Wordle Fever or any of those other games, like for this one to hit me was a surprise.
Yeah, Not Words is awesome. Totally worth the like $12 or whatever. You can play it for free, but I ended up paying. So I was just like, it feels right to pay for this.
Yes.
And I'm with you. I was playing Wordle, but I was only playing it at 4 a.m. because that's when my son would wake up for a feeding. So I would be awake. My wife would be handling the feeding part, and I would be handling the waiting awake part from about 4 to about 4:40. And so that was when I would slide in Wordle. But it always felt very slight to me. Not Words is that's KNOT if anyone is looking for it. And that's like on Hurdle. Steam and phones. And yeah, Hurdle was good. Hurdle was only good because I was getting most of them in like the first 1 second thing. And then,
the first time it was a Bad Bunny song, I was just like, fuck.
Yeah. And the first time it was a Bad Bunny song, I was like, I'm not going to play this anymore. And stopped playing pretty much all of it. Like, it was the same thing. Like, I had a really long streak on Wordle, and then I skipped a day for whatever reason because my son threw up or something, and there was a lot of cleanup. So I just forgot to play Wordle that day. And then once the streak was broken, I was like, cool, man, I'm super done, and have not played it since. And so
you need streak fees is like Duolingo, man. If you're doing a streak thing, give a once in a while, just like, oh, you're fine, don't worry about this one, but you only get 3 or whatever.
Right. Yeah. I tried to do Japanese and Duolingo for, I probably went about a month and a half. And then it was another case of like, once I broke the streak, I never came back to it. And so
I'm very familiar with Duolingo because my partner is on day 750 streak of learning French.
Wow. And so
I know if that streak ever goes away, it's probably over.
Yeah. So like after that many days, how is the French going? Is it?
pretty good. I mean, like, we'll be watching something and somebody will say something in French and they'll understand it. And I'm like, that's cool. We're going to try and go maybe next year.
Right? That's cool. Yeah. Right on. Yeah. I always wanted to do Japanese, but like, really, I just want to be able to read it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to play SNES games.
That's what, like, you know, it's, you're not conversing with anyone. So you're not learning like how to speak the language as if you were speaking to a Japanese person. But if you can read it and know the words and write maybe a little bit of it, like, you're probably fine.
I would love to be able to type it so that I could get around the CAPTCHA on the Japanese Phantasy Star Online 2 website, because I still get spam emails from that.
You're just hunting through all the different...
Well, it's like I'll load up the Wikipedia page for, like, you know, katakana or whatever, and it shows every character. Yeah. And so I'll look at it and have to match it up and just, like, manually copy and paste each character. But if I do it too slow, then it's like, hey, you took too long to solve the CAPTCHA, so you have to solve another one now. And I'm like, argh! So I have not gotten back and done that. But someday, maybe, I will do that. That's going to do it for the show.
Whew.
That's it for emails.
I'm hot and hungry.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
I don't know if I had it in me to do a 3-hour podcast on a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, it's you just fall right back into it, baby. You're just like, yep, that's exactly how it goes. You just knock this out and then you eat after. Thanks so much for coming on. I know we were trying to do this last week originally, but I know you were under the weather, so I'm glad to have you back amongst the not sick, I guess is the right way of putting that.
There's a nice breeze about things.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yes, thanks so much. You are the first guest here on the Jeff Gerstmann Show.
What an honor. I know. I'd like to thank Jeff Gerstmann for having me.
I'll let him know. You can let him know yourself by going over to patreon.com/Jeff Gerstmann. That'll let you get on the Discord, and then you can, you can talk to him about Steam Deck stuff.
You got a new tier with a new show.
That's right. Game Boys to Men. We are getting ready to record that next episode pretty soon here. I got to figure out a time with Glenn to record that pretty soon here. The Jeff Gerstmann Hall of Fame is also there. Episode 2 is there as early access. You find all about that. Go to dopeassvideogames.com and learn more about all of that sort of stuff. And we'll be back next week with another episode of this here podcast. I'll be streaming definitely on Friday. I'm figuring out the Wednesday, Thursday thing. I might be driving out to check out the P.O. box because I didn't get the key to it when I signed up last time. So I got to go pick up the keys to the P.O. box. And I don't know if anyone sent anything or not, but we'll do that. And so maybe I'll be on Mixlr for that. Who the fuck knows? I don't know. It's fucking chaos out here. Just roll the dice and run streams, baby. It's the way it was meant to be. Ben, enjoy your website. Do you have anything you want to plug before we go?
No. Me on LinkedIn and endorse me for front-end JavaScript.
Okay. All right. Go endorse Ben for front-end JavaScript.
That's not true. I don't condone juicing those numbers, but, you know, I wouldn't say no to someone wanting to connect.
Every time I open up LinkedIn, it is a weird... LinkedIn is weird, and the people that are thirsty for LinkedIn social, like, that treat it like it's just any other social network, are weird people.
It is the second most unhinged social network behind Nextdoor.
Yes. I still get Nextdoor alerts for where I used to live because they're so much crazier there than they are here, and so I have to keep seeing them. Like, Petaluma seems like it's just actively on fire now. I don't know. People are so mad about everything all the time. But anyway, that's going to do it for the show. We'll be back next week with this show. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Thanks, Ben Pack, for coming on. And we'll see you next time. I'm going to push the music button. No. Yeah. Everybody have a good one.